America, in black society around the world, if it was any place other than that, that's where they would be. But this place is different, and that's why you're all here, because all of you are tired of coonery and buffoonery being the definition of what being black is. So if you're ready to do something about that, and we know that you are, you have found kindred souls. The telephone lines are now open, and the number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code to the blackest radio program on the planet. Dare I say, the only one that is devout and devoutly dedicated to the best interests of black people, to the exception of all other things. I think I can safely say that, because other people have had the opportunity to speak it themselves, and that's not happening. That's not happening. They are moving every piece of machinery of their society they've got against us, and we are sitting here playing the fiddle. But that's why people are here. That's why there's a pushback now, brother. That's why 7 a.m. has done the phenomenal numbers that it has. Why Hidden Colors is rocking the world the way it has. There is a pushback underway. And it's going to be a lot of people going to find themselves on the wrong side of history and on the wrong side of black empowerment. Because the truth is, there are a lot of black folk who have actually come to the table betting against black empowerment. There are actually black people, brother, who are betting against their own people, because they are wagering that if they dance the jig for the enemies of black people, that there will be a place at the table reserved and conserved for them. And that's not the way it works. See, you can dress yourself like a wolf all you want to. We've heard about a wolf in sheep's clothing. What if you're a sheep in wolf clothing? How does he get by? You got, you know, Mary had a little lamb. He's done slapped on a wolf suit, trying to convince this pack of wolves that he's one of them. What's going to happen? It doesn't matter how many sheep that he attacks. It doesn't matter how many farmers he bites. It doesn't matter how often he howls at the moon. At the end of the day, he is going to find himself, when those wolves run out of food, he's going to find himself the first thing on the damn plate. And that's the point that black people need to understand, that you better coalesce around this, because this is the only legitimate power structure you have. Because we're not going to lay down and take it anymore. And we are gathering our strength. And we have the ability, we are gaining the ability to start calling hands. And the most dangerous thing that you can do to somebody whose power is expanding is start daring them to start leveling their strength against you. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here now. Let me get caller from 615. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Black TVA. This is Chris Crazy House calling from Nashville.
What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I saw this morning you had the attack of the deviant and the disturbed on your Facebook page today when you made your post about the black woman looking like a a monster, in my opinion, the one that almost let her kid die in the car. And, you know, I understand why these idiots do it, but I'm kind of glad that you make these posts on your Facebook page, because you separate the real from the disturbed, in my opinion, because these people are just sick. I know you've been doing it for years with your posts on Facebook and everywhere else, so I'm glad that you do it, because it exposes a lot of the other deviants that we have in our society out in the black community when they come to defend nonsense like that.
Now, what Chris is referring to is the story out of Philadelphia, of course, and it was a story about this woman and her boyfriend. They left her toddler in a car while they went inside this place for drinks. Kid damn near dies in the car. Damn near dies. And, of course, you take a look at this female, and I said this years ago, and it upsets people. They don't like it. The real reason that they don't like it is because they remember that they've been getting touched on by their cousins and their brothers and sisters since they were 4 or 5.
Right.
That's the real reason that they don't like it. But I just tell the truth about what the reality is.
What happens is that
we want to talk about white inbred people.
Right.
Everybody wants to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the black inbred ones.
And we don't realize that there's a lot of that going on in our community.
You're in a hotbed for it.
Yes,
when you've got Negroes out there, these are grown-ass men, one man with 30 damn kids by damn near that many women.
You're gonna have their kids sleeping with each other at some point.
If you got these dudes sitting up here knocking up Bushika at the housing projects, if you let that heifer stay there for 13 years, it's damn near guarantee, because Bushika and Shandalika is upset because Spooky took her and Shandikia and Shakira and Bud Weiser, and she's not going to want to tell nobody because she's upset and figured out that she was a hoe after the fifth baby mama. She figured out she was a hoe after that. And so they're not saying anything. And now you got all these bastard babies running around Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee is the bastard baby capital of America.
Yes, it is.
For those of you who do not know, Memphis, Tennessee is the bastard baby capital of America. And I'm not making that up. That's not my opinion. That's a statistical
fact. That's facts. That's numbers. And you're talking to someone who's married to someone who works at the health department. So, yes.
All you got to do is isolate. You only have to take over a whole city, brother. All you gotta do is isolate the Negroes on the south side of town and watch as their genes destroy themselves.
Right. And like I said, people just don't realize how devastating that is to the community around them. And I've talked about this before in some of my blogs. Just, you're gonna have to deal with those degenerate children. I mean, they already have enough behavioral problems as is. We wonder why so many people in the black community just seem completely insane. That's probably one of the culprits right there, that people don't know who their family members are and they're getting together. Or the mom is lying and saying that this new guy she met while she was pregnant is really your real daddy. And, you know, you got these idiot guys out there, they can't even count 9 months. They only know what month when they had sex with the girl, or if they were on top of her at the same time. So they don't know if that's their child or not. And it's just a breeding chaos. That's why I call it.
Yeah, Chris, this is Professor Truth. Glad to have you checking in, brother. I touched on this in my video that YouTube took down and got reposted by another one of the B1 Brigade, the reality of black female privilege. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when you have 80% of the females deciding to limit their dating and mating choices to the lowest bottom 20% of the males, when you sit there and think it's cute to say, I like bad boys, I'm attracted to hood dudes, street dudes, It is not harmless to do that. When you make excuses for throwing your legs open for this or that clown, and then you do it again and again and again, you live in impoverished circumstances where you don't know how many other males this chump has been with, and they have also been doing the same game they've been bouncing around to. Yes, you're going to have a whole lot of incidental inbreeding going on. And nobody in the black community wants to talk about that. And I know that a lot of black women take offense at that because, you know, hey, for the last 45 years, your crotch is your power. So if somebody tells you that there's something wrong with it, you're not going to sit there and go, yeah, maybe I should stop doing this. Instead, you're going to say, I ain't doing nothing wrong. Well, what about him? You do you and let me do me. And meanwhile, we got these genetically modified deviants running around. And, you know, you add drugs to the mix because these are party girls. We've been developing three generations now of party girls. I mean, as an example, and this probably hits home for TBA, in his home state of Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, the capital of Louisiana, they lead the nation per capita in AIDS cases. Baton Rouge leads the nation in AIDS cases per capita. Now, Baton Rouge is a majority black town. And you think you got a whole bunch of people from New Orleans who like to run up in there too. And people need to understand that this whole hookup culture thing, this crotch culture thing, and you know, females think that the reason God put them on this earth was to use sex to get attention. And making excuses for all this and thinking that it's cute. This has real consequences. I mean, tonight we've been dropping some stats on you guys. And, you know, TBA and I try to avoid that simply because we don't want this to turn into the statistics show. That kind of stuff gets dry. And you know, at the end of the day, do you really need for us to tell you that the job situation in Chicago is horrifyingly bad for black males in particular? Do you need anyone to tell you that the STD rate is out of control? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. Because there seem to be a lot of people making excuses for this situation. A lot of people who don't get it. And TBA was the one who pointed out that the statistics are bad and they can get much worse. A lot of people didn't understand it. When you take a look at those statistics in Baton Rouge, you see that he's right. And when you look at the behavior that you're seeing, you see that he's right. And this is why intelligent black society cannot afford a big tent. The only thing a big tent does is make plenty of rooms for the frauds, fakers, bastard baby makers, white supremacists, and their sympathizers of every stripe, pattern, and spot. Intelligent black society better separate itself from the herd. Because that herd is going to one gigantic slaughterhouse, and the slaughter will not be a merciful bullet to the head or somebody injecting some poison. It's going to be a slow, painful, lingering death. It is going to be a charnel house where the herd is encouraged to turn on each other and rip each other to pieces.
Well, they're not going to listen to you, Professor Truth. They're going to say that those stats are made up by the white supremacists. So they'll say those numbers lie. I saw some idiot today trying to justify that monster that TBA posted, trying to say, oh, she looks like a West African, posting the pictures of African women on there saying she looks just like that.
Now, she's like a man. First of all, she was completely wrong. Those two women did not look anything the same, by the way. To anybody who wants to go look at the post I put up this morning, they didn't look anything the same. I went ahead and blocked her because this is a woman who's in denial. She is in denial, and we as black people have too many stupid arguments about things like that. She had that bulldog look in her face, and you all know what I'm talking about. When it looks like they grabbed the bottom part of your face and pulled it forward, she had that bulldog look to her face, that world star hip-hop look to her face, that 6 o'clock evening news look to her face. We could have said, called this heifer was going to be on the news back 10 years ago. Right. We really could have, just because you fit the description of the suspect. So we could have called it back then, to be totally honest.
Right.
The guy who's honest about it.
They love bringing up Africa anytime they want to explain their buffoonery. So.
But they don't want to bring up, by the way, Africans don't have anywhere near this rate of problems or behavior. They never bring that up.
No, they don't.
Never, never, ever bring that up. And the people who want to talk about white man statistics and whatnot, but they love the white man's numbers when they say what he wants them to say. Isn't that interesting? They love white numbers on holidays especially. They love that one. They adore that one. So they want to pick and choose what numbers they want to listen to. Anything to live in reality. That's that conspiracy theory crap. I told you all about that before. When you're losing, just say it's a conspiracy. And when someone presents you with incontrovertible evidence, then whoever brought you the evidence, you just say that they're part of the conspiracy. Just say that the conspiracy has expanded. Even if it's people in your own group who say it, just say that they're part of the conspiracy too. The conspiracy has expanded to them. These people are going to sit here and keep handing us fairy tales until we go extinct.
Yes, and they think it's just that easy too. Just blame it on conspiracy, or, you know, like I said, they take the Alex Jones route and just cough up some nonsense. Just like a lot of those men that I heard when back when you did that show about capitalism. All those black men did the same, pretty much the same thing, and spouted a bunch of nonsense that they got off the line. They'd never done any type of real research about what the political system or what monetary systems are. But they heard someone say something, they thought it sounded kind of smart, and they went with it.
They didn't know anything about monetary systems. They didn't know anything about history. I asked one guy in particular, when did the slave trade begin in North America? Tell us when it started. He couldn't even give us a century that it started in. But
right.
He knows that he's against capitalism. Now, he does know that. Brother, these are a bunch of dudes who are unemployed. These are a bunch of guys who are uneducated. They're unmotivated. And the reason that because they are unprepared for the world that we're going into, they are scared to death of it. And rather than get out here and make some moves, because they don't actually have a move to make, they are instead arguing protestation against the system itself. Now they're not just against math anymore, brother. They're against money now.
Right. They're against doing any type of action, because there is a lot to fear out here. There's stuff to be scared of, but that should get you to go into action, not to just sit back and let it just keep happening to you. Be proactive. I mean, if just think about the schoolyard, if there's a fight's about to brew up and someone's about to attack you, you want to hit them first. You don't want to get beat up and made to look like a fool in the middle of the schoolyard.
See, when you start defending our dysfunctions, that's coonery.
Yes,
coonery is when you understand that something is wrong and you are sitting there arguing for it, because they did that on the plantations, brother. When the whites would beat them, what would the slaves say? Man, you shouldn't have run your mouth like that to Mr. Charlie like that. Bro. You should have just kept that there quiet.
You should have known better. You should have known better to get Master upset.
Or if they got raped or whatever, well, you know you shouldn't have been wearing that right there. Mr. Charlie, he a good man. There's always an excuse for defending our dysfunctions. And white supremacy adores that. Hell, they created the modern corporate rap scene as a place to glorify our dysfunctions. Why? Because they understand how that works in their favor. But when black men make rap music songs, what do they rap about? Doing drugs, drinking. When Eminem put out, was that for his last album? I think it was. For his last album, the first song, the first video that they put out was one where he was boo-hooing and apologizing to his mama.
Right.
Now, if that sounds like Shades of Tupac, you could be forgiven if that sounds like it. What I'm saying is that Eminem, and by the way, Eminem was a real dope. For the last decade, Eminem has been strung out on prescription drugs for the last decade.
Right.
And y'all Negroes didn't know it. He got clean, and take a look at what he's doing. You see, they put out redemption stories about themselves. Black folk are putting out dysfunction stories about themselves. We are digesting this, vomiting it, licking it up, and then redigesting it again. And when you come here and defend our functions, that is treason. You are picking up what white supremacy gave you and saying, "Ah, Mr. Chaddy, I'll do the work now. You ain't got to feed them this. I feed them this. Don't worry, this is what we be."
And think about this. The people that were defending that girl today, they just bypassed the whole fact that her child was almost dead because of her and that idiot male that she was with. So they weren't even thinking about defending black children. That's when you know where the insanity is coming from, because these people, they'll defend everything. Even they won't even care about the death of their own children.
Well, no, because the children,
they take refuge in that.
Yes.
Take refuge in it because black lives are cheap, especially black babies. So that's the reason why they don't think anything much of it. Didn't mean to interrupt.
They hate black children as much, actually more, than white supremacy does.
And I would have to agree. I'd like any of them to call in, and well, I guess they're out there looking at fireworks, so I guess they won't call in, but they need to call in and explain.
They're staring at all the pretty lights in the sky and all the pretty colors in the air. Now, tomorrow, white supremacy is going to be the enemy. You see,
right.
Chris, I put up posts like that from time to time because I want people. I do that from time to time because I'm constantly taking people's temperature, too. I want to remind people. We have to go in-depth sometimes. And I want to remind people. I always take an opportunity to remind people what the real problems are because we take it for granted.
Right.
And it's like church. You don't just read Genesis one time and then you're done with it. We got to bring you back here so that you can understand where Adam messed up, what Moses did wrong. We got to keep bringing you back here. We got to keep going over Exodus and Leviticus. We have to keep doing that. And what people find out is that a lot of things they thought were true are not. So I open up these discussions, and what it does is it reveals that there are a lot of folks. And by the way, these are people that, you know, they got added to my friends list and whatnot, but
right,
they didn't think
I mean.
They were going to see things like this. Now, you know what we believe here. It's a chore to get added to my friends list.
Right.
I make it difficult on purpose. It's a chore to get on my friends list. So they knew what they were there for. But yet what they want to show us is that, yeah, I'm on their side. I'm on the side of dysfunction. I'm on the side of coonery. I'm on the side of white supremacy. That's me. I am their foot soldier. And that's why the 7 a.m. movement and Black Channel and whatnot, and you're one of the day one people, you watch that happen. Brother, they got no idea. Seriously. When 7 a.m. is over, everybody wants to know, everybody's talking about, you know, will you do a sequel to 7 a.m.? First of all, I haven't got the first one done yet, but would you do a sequel to it? If I do something after 7 a.m., and I don't know if I will or won't, but if I, because documentaries are expensive, if I do something after 7 a.m., it's probably going to be about single mothers. I can tell you all right now, if I do, my next project, assuming there is one, will be about single mothers. And I'm telling you right now, brother, I'm going to be on the first thing with wings to Memphis.
Right. Well, you'll definitely get lots of great footage.
And Goldie Taylor and Melissa Harris Perry are just going to have their cow.
Right.
Because they're not going to talk about this. You want to know why you got so many males out there cooning today? Is because they were raised in effeminate households and white supremacy is taking advantage of the landscape. So it's going to break a lot of folks' hearts when I do that right there. But if I do another project, that's what it'll be about.
Right. Well, you know, Melissa Harris, she likes to hug and stroke the bastard baby-making mamas. So, and tell them everything's okay and you didn't do anything wrong. So you know she wouldn't enjoy that at all.
Well, understand something. If what's his name? Seth, Family Guy, what's his name? I forget his name.
Like Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane. Now, he can get up at the damn Academy Awards and make jokes about Jews.
Yes, he does.
He got up at the Academy Awards and through that little teddy bear character, he made jokes about Jews. We got the Boondocks. And I'm telling you that as black people, they don't have a problem animating nigga moments. We start taking aim at the bastard baby makers. I would like to see a cartoon that does that. I would like to see a cartoon that does like a Boondocks only against bastard baby makers and hood ghetto culture. I'd like to see that and watch the corporate structure that has no problem promoting all this other buffoonery. Watch them go nuts against that one. Nah, we're not really interested in that. So you'll promote black folk smoking and drinking and every damn thing else. We're talking about making fun of the bastard baby makers, and all of a sudden you're going to have a problem against that. Understand, they know what to promote and they know what not to. But this is going to be different. This time we're not accepting no for an answer. We're not accepting it, not this time.
Right. Well, I'm going to let you get to some other callers. Hopefully some more people call in. I hope they're, like I said, not out there stuffed with barbecue and looking at fireworks. Hope they actually call in. Get some intelligent black thought for a change.
Thank you very much for joining us here, brother. We appreciate you calling in for us here. Let me get caller from 240. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Gwendolyn calling from Fort Meade, Maryland.
What's on your mind, sister?
Oh, you know, I tuned in 20 minutes late. Had to push my family out of the house. Just had a, you know, gathering here where we talked about a lot of the same things that you're talking about here, just my parents. And, you know, a lot of things that you said were just, I just need a pen and paper so I can write down a lot of the points that you make because it just goes so quickly. You make so many good points. And there is a lot of stuff going on now. And one of the things that you touched on a little earlier was that I think a lot of that black people do not care about their children. Now, I'm a nanny, and I've been a nanny since I was 18 and got, you know, went to college, and that's how I, you know, it was a great job for me, and I love children. And so I've waited to have my own children and to be mature enough and financially stable, and I've just been with so many homes, and this is, it hurts me to say, and I've told people this, and it's like I kind of whisper, I'm not going to lie and say I'm one of the people who, I do call people out on their stuff, but there's still some things that kind of, I don't say out loud, and one of them is that black people do not put value in their kids' child care, and that's where I'm coming from. I can't, you know, I'm going to talk about child care because that's what I did. And I'm talking about on a lot of levels, several different levels, and we're talking about from the lowest level to even very educated PhDs or MDs, even, and a lot of men that were married to black women. And it bothers me to say that because me as being a child care provider and being a woman too and then having my mother and my father, I have a certain role that I believe that women should kind of stay, not a set 1, 2, 3 ABC, but it has to be somewhere, you know, it's written in English, you know, it's somewhere in that realm. And what I experience is that even with black married couples, now I'm just going to talk about the women. With black married couples, a lot of the women, maybe they're from single parent households, but they do not and lead their family. And when I say lead, I mean lead in the women's position by forming their family and keeping their family together and setting a schedule for their family and doing certain things for their family, where the man then kind of just falls into the family routine. And that's what I've seen a lot of other couples do, and that's what I've done, and that's what my mother kind of does. As a woman, you kind of set a tone and schedule in your home. And it has nothing to do with whether the man can change it or not, but you know what I'm saying. It has to do with you kind of run the ship. And so I've just been with so many people, and it bothers me so much when I'm with white people. They pay me on time. They pay me ahead of time. I get bonuses. Now, I know good and well that things aren't looking great for black people working in jobs and things like that. But I'll see the things that they have, the things that they're doing, the things that they take priority in, and I compare, and I see what the white people put. I see the tutors that come over to the house. I see the piano instructors. I see, and these aren't extraordinarily intelligent kids. They're just little, you know, cute little kids. And I see the time that they spend when they walk in the door, that they spend talking to their kid about their art project, the 20 minutes they take. There are things that black people are not doing, and it's not about paying a bill and putting your kid in the house and making sure they have a bed. It's about not shooing. Every time you come in the house, you don't shoo your kid away and get out of my face, and I just got home, and I'm tired every day. And there's an environment that you have to create, and that moms and dads have to work together, because it's hard enough for two parents to do that. And, I mean, there's just so many problems when I work with black families, and that's where I got a lot of what I've seen. There's so many issues working with black families. A lot of them will have the discipline thing down where you know that that kid will get a beating. You know that part. But as far as me giving
First of all, that's not discipline. That's control. And any redneck control a dog. So let's make one thing clear right there. And first of all, it's not that their children are well behaved either.
No, they're scared.
Oh, well, I mean, you get them outside the home, and what's the first thing they do? They're little hellions. So obviously beating on them is not creating a more disciplined person. It's obviously not doing that.
No, no. And I've only run into a couple of black, maybe one black family that I can say that kind of was on point, and that family did, you know, kind of stayed more to themselves. But and you're right, there is something that black people got to get away of from beating and not discipline, because that's what I mean. They're going to beat the kid, but then they don't even tell the kid why they're receiving a punishment. They don't give the kid a further punishment, as in, you know, something simple as being sent to a room. And everything is met with just such a negativity, like, I hate you for doing this. Not that what you did was wrong, but you've ruined mom's day, you know. And it's the wrong way to discipline. They need to know that they're doing things that are wrong and that are going to affect them. Not that you made mom mad and now mom can't have her margarita because you spilled it and now you get a beating for that. We're not even disciplining our children in the right way. And then we talk about everybody else. And I'm in the homes with these white children, and it just pains me to see that these are not even extraordinary kids. Now, they're sweet little kids, but their parents give them tools so they can do better and rise above. And these are just tools like patience and tools like paying attention. And people don't understand what you get when you sit down with your kid for a certain amount of time a day and you do things with them and you teach them how to write and read. That stuff puts them on a curve ahead of other people who have to wait until they get in the classroom to learn how to do basic things. And there's just all of these things that I've noticed and seen working with a lot of the white families, and I'm talking about even married couples. And then you have a lot of nannies, and you, I don't even know if you'll believe this, I get a lot of emails, and I have great references and stuff. So a lot of people are interested in having me come, and I'll get emails from a single mom, and she has three kids, and she works 12-hour shifts, and she needs someone to disparate all these crazy schedules, and then she wants to pay, you know, $40 a day or something like that. And these people are very serious. And they're always, and I know the week before school starts, 2 days before school starts, that's when you can expect the black women to email you about child care, 2 days before school starts. White people have child care now. Their kid aren't even in school. White people find they're 3 months pregnant and have child care. I've been told, okay, my baby will be born in 3 months. We'll need you then. And they'll work out things with you. And I'm not just trying to get on my women, but there is something lacking there. And what it is that a lot of us black women, we talk a lot about black men don't respect us and things like that, and that's a whole another discussion. But we as black women, we don't respect ourselves, and we don't like other black women. We don't like little black girls, and we don't like little black boys unless it's a very strange relationship that black grown women have with little black boys, even that aren't their sons. And I've noticed that. It's a very weird relationship. And black women don't even pay much attention to little black girls, and I've noticed that a whole lot too. They don't ever tell little black girls that they're beautiful or cute or pretty or that they're smart or that they're nice or how to act or anything. It's just a whole different dynamic when it comes to black women. And I'm speaking about women because I'm a woman and I'm a nanny, and with their children. And it's very sad, and it's very hard to watch. And I do have to agree with the last caller that there is something wrong here And black women, a lot of us do not like our kids, and I'm guessing that comes from not liking yourself as a black woman, and we purposely handicap men. We don't want our sons to do better than us, I believe. I believe we don't want him to get a girl who is better than us in strange ways, and I can't exactly tell you how those women work.
What it is that the only competition in black female society right now is sexual competition. Black females do not compete with each other on an intellectual level. They don't compete with each other on a nurturing level. They don't compete with each other on a social level. Everything is just a very basic, dare I use the term, savage level, that we only compete with your sex organs and that's it. But there is no competition for I'm smarter than you. There is no, I mean, it would be different if that were the case. If that were the case, everything would be fine. There is no competition for my children are more well-mannered than yours. It's just I can sleep with your man and I can whip your ass and my kids can sleep with your man or your daughter, your ass. And basically it just goes in that cycle. So there is no competition for redeeming character traits. The only competition going on among black females of every age level, the only real competition is sexual. There is no intellectual, social, political, financial competition going on. There is none. Everything is, I can have sex with this or that person. And when the truth of the matter comes out, we are going to find that places like Atlanta, Memphis, New Orleans, St. Louis, when the truth comes out, and if I have the proper amount of funding, I would like to look into that. You know what my real ultimate goal is? My ultimate goal is I want to be able to pay. I want to be able to pay somebody like Pew Research. I want to be able to pay something like somebody like them or Gallup. I want to be able to pay them, but Pew Research would probably be the one I would want most to do a poll about single motherhood and start looking into cases of like these children who are these black boys who are molested by their teachers and stuff like that, to start doing research into that. Because Obama and friends are not going to have that. They're not going to let you do that. They're not going to help that kind of thing because we've got so many people in black society who have a vested interest in making sure that our dysfunctions survive. They want our dysfunctions to survive because the real goal, Gwen, is not the Hollywood people. They're worthless. The real target are all of us. The real target is the black person who gets together with their people and says, we have to mount a counteroffensive. You and I are the real targets of all of this. That the goal is to create ghettos are big enough, stifled enough, drowning enough, that you and I are members of a group. And that as members of that group is so dysfunctional and so broken that it acts like a quicksand that holds down even those who would otherwise leave it. That's the whole point behind all of this. I'm going to bring another caller in here. Let me get caller from 919. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how you doing, TBA?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Dave, calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. And I appreciate the work that you and Professor Black Truth are doing, celebrating today, July 4th, by going back and listening to Message to the Grassroots by Malcolm X. And a lot of the stuff that you guys are talking about, it just seems like we got a president right now who just seems intent on buck dancing while black America burns. You got his wife is sitting back here comparing herself to single mothers. We've got black men who have these terrible, terrible unemployment rates. You know, the black community's falling down, and nobody's doing or saying anything about that. And then when you have people like Melissa Harris Perry, who says single mothers aren't a problem, there's really no accountability. And I guess my biggest question is, when do we just say, We've had 40-something years of these folks. It's time to find new management. We got people like Al Sharpton, who I'm sure was telling on black people all those years that he was in the public eye. And nobody seems to be addressing any of these issues. If you talk about the problems that are going on, having out-of-wedlock birth rates, these same people will jump on you. I mean, I disagree with Bill Cosby, but it seems like this is a guy who tried to do a lot for the African-American community, and somebody like Dr. Dyson goes and writes a whole book trying to trash the man. You know, this is Professor Cosby, at least he's given millions of dollars to HBCUs. This guy, Dyson, just, you know, licks up the white liberals and does their bidding. And so I'm just curious, at what point, when do we say enough is enough?
Okay, we say enough is enough right now with what you're saying. You said a number of things that are just absolutely wrong, Dave, on a bunch of levels. First of all, Bill Cosby is the biggest Devin Fetchick coon there ever was. His whole career has been built on being wide-eyed and looking around all goofy. And yeah, I know he was part of that documentary back in the 70s. But the Bill Cosby from 1965 and 1969 and 1971, that Bill Cosby is a totally divorced creature from the one walking around today. Totally divorced. Well, Bill Cosby gave a bunch of money to HBCUs. First of all, no, he did not give a bunch of money to HBCUs. Bill Cosby went on an ego trip. And like all the rest of them, the cost of admission for your ego trip to get anybody to actually sit down and give a damn about what you got to say is to give money to their school. Tell Bill to set up just a regular speech and see how many people come to see him. See how many people come to see him. And what did he say when he was there? He spent his time doing that old Obama mess, talking about black males. He's played the game. He always has, and he will continue to. Bill Cosby has never flexed against white supremacy. Bill Cosby has never flexed against white supremacy. Never. You cannot find one instance in that man's professional career where he has said a word against white supremacy. You won't find it. Go ahead, look for it. Go ahead and look for it. It ain't there. It's not there. And lastly, the HBCUs, can you please tell me one HBCU that is worth a damn? Because I came back from Philadelphia. I came back from Wharton. I came back from Columbia. I've come back from those places, brother. You show me one HBCU that in the last 150 years of their existence has come anywhere close to being as productive as those Ivy League universities. Show me one. Just one.
There isn't.
Okay, so tell me, what good did all that money that Bill Cosby supposedly gave, what good was that actually doing? You were giving it to people who are playing the same game you are. I'm going to get into this in 7 a.m. I'm not going to tell y'all. If you want to look it up on your own, I'll let you do it by yourselves. But understand something, the HBCUs are not serving your purposes. They're not serving your interests. And many of these institutions are outright co-opted by the regimes and by the system. You would be surprised how many of those HBCUs are directly doing the work of the system. I will get into this in 7 a.m., and I will show you. But I would admonish any black person before you say, there is a reason that Dr. Claude Anderson does not say anything pleasing or complimentary about the historically black colleges and universities. There's a reason why he doesn't do that. There's a reason why. And you all would be well served to actually look into these organizations and these schools, because all you see is the word black. But we as black people need to stop sitting up here congratulating a president because he's black, or a school because it says black, or an organization because they say they're black. And we need to start judging people on their track record and see if they actually got some accomplishments to show us. Because Bill Cosby doesn't have any accomplishments. He doesn't have any battles that he's won. He doesn't have any hills that he's taken a stand for and took a stand on. He doesn't have any to show us. Now, you got some background noise going on there behind you, so I'll let you have the last word.
Well, I have to definitely do a little bit more research. I guess the only question I have is, do you think these institutions are worth salvaging at this point?
There was a reason why I put the clip of 7 a.m. with Umar Johnson talking that I did. You see, Umar Johnson is not beholden to the black college of the university. Umar Johnson is not beholden to them. And because he's not, he can speak the truth about it. And the truth of the matter is that the historically black colleges and universities were not set up by black people. They were not set up by us. And that's why I went into that. Your historically black colleges and universities were not even started by black people. That's your first clue that something is wrong. Second of all, most of them now are having trouble keeping their electricity and their lights on. So you're going to teach these black students how to run their lives, and you can't even run your school? That should be something that tells you some proof right there, people. You should understand something about that. Thank you very much for giving us a call today here, brother. Let me get a caller from 312. You're on live with the Black Panel.
Hi, my name is Sally. I'm calling from California.
Okay, get off your speakerphone.
Oh, I'm not on my speakerphone.
Okay, then you need to
get
closer to your phone. This sounds like you're about 10 feet away from it.
Is this better?
Okay, what is your name?
Hi, my name is Sally. I'm from California.
Okay,
and
I'm not sure. I'm a phone or what? Are you on like a headset or something?
No, I'm not on headset. I'm calling. I'm on my cell phone. I guess it's a little loud.
We're gonna pitch in and we're gonna see if we can get you a Samsung and see if we
better?
Can help you upgrade your game there. Where did you say you were from?
Hello? Is this better?
Yes. Where did you say you were from?
Oh, okay. I'm originally from Miami, but I'm currently living in California.
Okay. And what's on your mind?
I was calling in regards to the prior call that you had, Gwen, who spoke about the state of blacks that don't invest in their kids. And I wanted to just bring up a couple points that I thought were important, letting her know that we've raised our kids the way that we were raised. That's first of all. Second, we do better because we know better. And for her, the reason she's raising her kids a different way was because she went out there and got the experience that she needed being a nanny to know that there are all these resources and opportunities that that she probably wouldn't have known if she hadn't been working the job that she had that she was working to begin with. And in the black community, you don't really have that. You know, we do all that we do basically the things that we only know how to do. And because we lack the knowledge and the resources, we're not able to actually raise our kids to advance them to the next level.
Okay,
explain
to us,
before
you get any further, explain to us what are the knowledge and resources that white and Hispanic and Asian and Indian and Arab women in America have access to that black women do not have equal access to. Tell me what those are.
I think it's mainly they do have access to, it's just that they're not as proactive. because they
whose job is it to make you proactive about taking care of your child? Because black women have definitely shown that they are super proactive about having unprotected sex and getting STDs. So you're super proactive about having sex, but you can't give half a proactive effort to finding out how to raise this child. I mean, you're not actually explaining your point here. And you paused when I said, what resources were they? You haven't actually explained what the resources are that these other women have access to that black women do not. So I'll try this again. What are the resources those women have access to that black women do not have equal access to? Because it doesn't look like it's a lack of equal access. It looks like it's a lack of giving a damn. So just tell me what it is. Oh, these women really want it, but they don't have access to it. Tell me, what is that? What are they?
You're right in the sense that they do have the resources, but I feel like if they had basically a network of strong relationships out there that can help them and other women basically just introduce them to new things outside of what they already know.
But what you're saying is that what they are lacking is a group of people who give a damn. They lack having a group of other people around them who actually give a damn about them. And you cannot legislate or social program your way into people giving a damn about your child. That's your job. We can't make a social program or a welfare benefit or a president's council on hoo-ha whose job it is going to be to give a damn about your child. That's your job. You have to do that. There's no group activity where we give a damn about your child. That's your job. It's your job to make sure that your child is cared about. As Gwen said, it's your job to make sure that you tell your child that, you know, they're somebody and that they're worthwhile and they're worth something. So just in case the rest of the world never says that, your child is not going to drop her panties for the first boy who says she's cute because that's not new to her. And she's not all impressed by that. That's not something that the rest of society takes care of. So what you're saying is that, well, no, there's nothing that these other women have access to that black women do not have access to except somebody who actually gives a damn about this child. I was waiting for you to say the school. I was waiting for you to say the WIC program. I was waiting for you to say the parenting classes. Man, we got free parenting classes in every single state in the country.
And a lot of times I feel like these women are just not aware of the programs that are available,
Are you kidding me? Are you seriously saying that? You said, I feel like they're not aware. How do you know? Not what you feel. Tell me how you know that they are not aware. Tell me. Because the ads are on the radio and on TV all the time. And when they get in trouble with child services, they sure as hell find those people then. And when they need free stuff for their kids, they know of every church. They know of every Meals on Wheels. They know of every bill pay assistance. They know of all that stuff to help preserve themselves and keep a roof over their own heads, because they had those kids to keep a roof over their own heads because they failed to be able to live in a capitalistic society. Tell me how you know that these women know every ins and outs of every other social program that helps them directly, but when it comes to the ones that tell them how to give a damn about their kids, all of a sudden they become inept and club-footed. Tell me, how do you know that?
I guess I don't know, and I do agree with a lot of the statements that you made.
See, we've made a habit of saying because they're black, we'll give them a pass. That she's black like me, we all exist under the system of white supremacy, so I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. And you know what? There is a place for the benefit of the doubt. There also comes a time when we stop giving benefits because there is no longer a doubt. Every black female in America, as soon as she turns up pregnant, she knows exactly where to go to get bill pay assistance from every church, every social organization, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, Goodwill. They know every phone number of everybody who gives out any type of free anything. But when it comes to prenatal care, all of a sudden, I don't know anything about that. But it's the same people that you went to. Ma'am, they give you brochures when you get pregnant at those places. And Gwen will testify to this. These hoes can get over there and get an abortion from Planned Parenthood. But guess what? Planned Parenthood also gives out pamphlets on taking care of your kids also. The same places that they go to get their food stamps also give them brochures about taking parenting classes. And in conservative states, even places like Louisiana and Mississippi, you get the same things here. They just don't give a damn. I came to get this child so I can get a check. And that's why they end up, we had a story here of a woman in Winsboro, I believe it was, and not far from here. In Shreveport, but not in Shreveport, but not far from here. I want to say it was Winsboro. And she, her one-year-old child, she called up the baby daddy because she wanted to get attention from him. She had told him that the child had fallen out of the car. Now, nothing had happened to the child, by the way. But she calls up the baby daddy because she wanted attention and tells him that the child fell from the car. When he acted indifferent about it, like he didn't care, she sat up here and put the child in a car, drove the child down the street, and while the car was moving, dropped the child out the window.
Oh, my God.
Now, the hospital had to give a damn about her child, and then the sheriff showed up, and I hope that they execute her ass. I do not know if the child is dead. I don't believe. I hadn't heard that the child was dead yet, but I hope that they give her capital punishment. I would back that one. And I'm not a big capital punishment guy, but I'll back that one. And what I'm saying is, tell me, what class do you take to prevent someone from doing something like that? What class do you take? What resources do we have to make available to someone to keep that kind of thing from happening, because we see it from black women every day? They've now become infamous for that kind of thing. It used to be, when you heard that kind of stuff on the news, you thought white woman. Susan Smith, yeah. When that happened, the nation found it very easy to disbelieve her because black women did not do that 20, 25 years ago. Today, oh, what a difference 20 years makes. Today, people don't,
I still think that white women are doing it. They're just not that prominent in the media. I mean, they're not given the coverage.
Okay, well, they're not given the coverage because it's probably not happening, Link. I mean, if you want to play that game, you go right ahead and try it. I'm just telling you right now, you're in for a big surprise. Huge surprise.
I'm not saying that it's not occurring. I agree with you that...
No, I'm saying that black women have taken over that stable. They've taken it over. I know these are hard pills to swallow because you all don't. It's hard for folk to accept just how bad the situation has actually gotten. You want to believe that it's a conspiracy. You want to believe that it's not this far along. You are looking for a scapegoat. You want to believe that somebody else is to blame. You want to believe that they're really not just this wicked. You want to believe that the problem is from the outside, not the inside. Because, you see, when I talk about white supremacy, it's very easy for you to believe they're devils, they're evil, it's genetic, they were spawn of Satan. It's easy to believe that when you're looking at other people. When we turn the mirror around and say, okay, it's time for us to look at ourselves, all of a sudden, now we want to start making excuses. Well, maybe they just don't have access to resources. What resources? I don't know. You're not quoting a fact anymore. You are just groping to say, well, let me make up something that makes me feel better about the situation. She wouldn't have done this if she had access to resources. A dog does not mutilate her puppies. A dog doesn't do that. It takes up a Homo sapien, it takes a human, and these individuals don't really qualify as human, but it takes a human being to mutilate their children. A dog knows not to do that. A pig knows not to do that. A wolf, A wolf doesn't do that. A lioness doesn't do that. But you're telling me that grown women do not know the difference, that they don't have the sense that a dog has? Because if that's true, that they don't have the sense that I need to put them in a class so that they can understand why it's necessary to not smoke and drink while you're pregnant, or to not beat your kids, or to not drop them out of windows. If I have to put somebody in a class so that they understand not to do that, I'm telling you right now that they are beyond the ability for that class to help them.
Jason, can I throw something in there,
yes,
too? If you don't mind. Yes. Hi, caller. I don't have children yet, but I have been a nanny for 10 years. But one thing that I've noticed as a young black woman that has been told to me several times over, and I guess I was a little sheltered, so I'm a little green, but so I had friends around 15, 16 years old who started having children, and that's when I kind of seen it starting among my friends, and some waited till they were older and other things. But I think a lot of times as black women, we're told over and over and over again, this happened to me. All of my friends swore up and down they were doing, if you talk to any single black mother, they are doing it all. They swear up and down that they are doing everything. The father's doing absolutely nothing. The father's mother hates the kids. Everybody's against them. Nobody helps them. Everybody's against them. But I see my friends for years, every weekend they're out. Every single Friday through Sunday night. They don't get their kids till Monday. I mean, I'm telling you, they don't spend this time with their kids. When they come home, they don't spend time with their kids. They're on the phone. There's no time with their kids. And I understand, I guess, what you're trying to say about resources. But when you say that, I'm thinking about stuff like an extra program or a free tutoring thing or something. Those are resources that maybe, you know, we can discuss. But like TBA said, when you're talking about loving, I just can't accept the fact that your father or your mother didn't love you and things. That to me is even more reason why you would know and understand that your child. We like to say that about men all the time. Well, he said he didn't have a father, so why is he not being a father to his kid? That's you know, but we have to turn that on the women as well. We can't say that they were raised wrong, women were raised wrong, or they didn't know any better. You do know better than to beat your kid. You do know better than to leave them in the back of a hot car. You know to feed your children. These are basic things that women are, you don't need a book to tell you to love your children and that you have to hug.
I get what you're coming from, I guess, because I'm all new to this. This is my first time calling, really listening to your program. And, you know, when I was growing up, we had the traditional family upbringing, and all of my friends had the traditional family upbringing. So I am very conservative in, you know, my thought and my the way that I look at a family unit. And so I hear all these negative things about black women and, you know, not really providing that much for their children. I find this a little hard to believe because this is not what I'm seeing among my friends who do have children.
Okay, where did you say you were from again?
Miami.
Miami. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Black women in Miami are the biggest pieces of... Quiet. You got black woman's disease where you start talking while other people are talking. I'm just letting you know you've been diagnosed.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So maybe you were under some illusions about yourself, about a few things. So let me enlighten you about that. Black women in Miami are not even a step above Bedford-Stuyvesant. So for you to sit here and say, oh, I grew up around a bunch of – CBS did a report 30 damn years ago about how screwed up black women in Miami are. They were bowing to Cuban women then with the step in Miss Manny. They were doing it back then. So this get out of here with that. That's not going to fly, not among people who are informed. You're making things now. There's never been an intact black community of black families in Miami. Get out of here with that. Do you even watch the first 48? Please, don't come here trying to sell. Don't come here trying to sell that to us. Don't come here trying to sell that. As if nobody knows what's going on in Miami. The pork and beans. As if nobody knows what's going on in those places. As if take a look at the damn situation for black folk and their income in the state of Florida. Sarasota, Orlando. The damn Asians run the yard. The Asians and the Cubans run the yard. I'm trying to talk about it. I didn't see that growing up. Man, who you jiving? Who you think you're fooling here? Please, I just did a document going across this country. Who you think you're fooling?
I was in Miami. I'm from Miami. It wasn't like that here.
Yeah, it is. Maybe you're talking about Miami, Washington. What Miami are you referring to? You don't mean Miami, Florida. You don't mean that.
Yes,
there's no way you mean Miami, Florida. Jacksonville, Tallahassee. Please, there is no place in the state of Florida, especially Miami. Please. What are you trying to pull?
I will roll with you
to a certain extent. I'm not going to roll with you for some stuff that I know is just completely and totally mythical. Come on now. We can't do that anymore. We cannot talk about, you said several times during this phone call about what you feel. We can't do that no more. We are in hell in a handbasket based on a bunch of bastard babies raised by women talking about what they feel and not about what they know, because their feelings get hurt when somebody tells them that your team sucks.
I mean, I do agree with you there that I do need to do a lot more research as far as what's going on and with the black women.
The team sucks.
Our community, but
the team is not a little bad. Them Cuban men got black women's draws down every day. Black women are in a disgusting state in Miami. There is no good spot, and there hasn't been one for 30 years. How old are you?
31.
Okay, I'm older than you are. Almost a decade older. And you're telling me that's some on point, that you grew up in an on point area in Miami for black women and the black family. Really? In the last 30 years, there's an on point area, an on point section of Miami for black folk and the black family? Really? Seriously? I mean, you seriously came here and said that?
All I said was that my family and my friend's family basically
okay.
Had a strong unit, a traditional family unit.
Okay. And even if that were completely accurate, what does that mean? Even if what you said about your family were completely accurate, how does that prevent you from just being the exception to the rule? And don't say that, I didn't know we were the exception to the rule until tonight. How did that prevent you from recognizing that? The truth is, your feelings were hurt because we're talking about black females. And what you all need to understand is that as black women, your team sucks. As black people, the team sucks, but it sucks coming from the women down. The team stinks. It sucks. It's pathetic. It's putrid. It's repugnant. And you can't fix your problem until you face your problem. Because, you see, sometimes your motor needs an overhaul, and other times you need a new car. Sometimes you just need a raise at your job, and other times you need a new job. And if you are unwilling to face just how bad the situation is, you see, white businesses do not go out of business or go bankrupt at nearly the rate of black businesses. Why? Because white businesses, except for the huge corporations, who actually don't have to, but white businesses will admit quickly when the business is in trouble. They don't sit there demanding to have their feelings spared. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Because, see, for black women, ego matters to them more than their children, more than anything else. Spare my feelings. What they really mean is my ego. I don't want my ego to be bruised, because their egos are so fragile and so tender and so pathetically weak that you can't say anything about that. White men inculcated their children early into something we call professional sports. Professional sports is nothing but organized mock warfare. And you should hear some of the language that happens in a professional athlete's locker room. Richie Incognito got y'all on that game. White men do not let you sit up here and make excuses. They want results. I just put up a video here yesterday about how white folk are training their daughters to be sumo wrestlers. Now you laugh about it today. In 10 years, you won't be laughing anymore. They don't live by a motto of endless excuses. They want to know what the problem is quickly. And they are so to the point now that Joss Stone can make an album, and if you did not see her, you would not know that she was white. Mm-hmm. And from Britain, by the way. Because, you see, when she first started out, she wanted to sound like us. She wanted to sound like Ella Fitzgerald. She wanted to sound like Lady Day. And if you listen to Joss Stone, you actually realize she sounds like Lady Day. If you really listen to her, you realize that girl is trying. She ain't succeeding, but she's trying to sound like Billie Holiday. And guess what? She didn't get there by people saving her ego. She got there by people saying, "You sound like a white girl." And she kept refining it until she didn't anymore. Black women, on the other hand, bottom of the damn barrel, the team stinks. But they're demanding that you tell them that everything is all right. And even in the places where it's clearly not all right, they demand that you tell them that it's somebody else's fault. You never saw a team that got better by saying that it was the other team's fault that we lost. As black women, your situation will change the day that you take issue with the person in the mirror and you don't look for anyone else. When you say, "I am going to get better and there are no rules. The only rule is I must improve." That's the only rule. And it doesn't matter how I do it. When you all do that, your situation will change. Your team will stop stinking. Right now, your team sucks. And if you don't have the honesty to admit to yourself that the team sucks, you're going to go extinct. It's not going to get worse. You're going to get extinct, which is what they've maneuvered you into right now. Take a look in Detroit. The Section 8 people and the welfare people and the keep my water bill pay people, it's out, lights out for them. And it's about to get a lot worse. You see, on this website, you heard when the caller called in about Bill Cosby. And the thing is, talking about listening to liberals. Conservative and liberal are terms for white people. Those are terms that apply only to white people. Those terms have no meaning and no definition for black people. There's no such thing as a black conservative nor a black liberal. Black Democrat and black Republican, those are meaningless terms. Because you have no power. And if you are unwilling to simply accept that you don't have any, you can't fix this problem. Black women need to stop worrying about saving their damn egos and take a look at that scoreboard. That scoreboard looks atrocious. The scoreboard looks atrocious. And here's the last problem here that you need to consider. And you, Gwen, and everybody else out there listening, especially black females, here's one more thing that you need to remember. Image is reality. Yeah, you don't want to hear that. Well, it's the truth. Your image is your reality. You know why? Because that is what establishes your reputation. And your reputation is what precedes you before you walk in the door. Before anybody ever sees you, your reputation as a member of that group precedes you. So your image matters more. Your image is the reality. And when you allow Bushika and Shantanika and the bastard baby makers and the whorehouse culture to become your image, that is what you are now. But wait a minute, not me. It doesn't matter. You are a member of the group. I'm not one of the people doing that, but you are a member of the group. And that will never change. So the group's reputation is your reputation. And that is why you must be uncompromising. You see, there's a reason why. Do you know who the biggest hunters of the mafia are? And actually always have been since the 1930s. Do you know the people who have been the biggest opponents, the biggest hunters of the mafia? Of the Italian mafia?
No.
Gwen, do you know?
No, no.
Italians. The biggest mob buster was Rudolph Giuliani. The biggest opponents of putting The Sopranos on HBO and on TV were the Italians. You didn't know there was an Italian congressional caucus, did you? They were the biggest opponents of The Sopranos being on TV. I remember on the news talking about this. This harkens back to a time when people used to say, you know, that the Italian part of town was a little Italy. Because we forget that the news used to be about another drive-by shooting in that Italian part of town. That was what the Italians were. If you got HBO, you should go watch Boardwalk Empire. At least it'll give you some idea of what it was like to be Italian, the reputation that they had. Gangs of America is another movie that gives you an idea of the reputation that Italians had. That they understood that because they were untouchables and unwanted as well. And they understood that our reputation and our image is never going to change so long as we got all these damn mafiosos. It will never change for us. So they became cops. They became congressmen. They became judges. They became, most importantly, prosecutors. So that they could clean up the streets. It was Rudy Giuliani who put the biggest mafiosos behind bars. Him and others. He was just the most well-known. It was Italians who went to work cleaning up the Italian community. They didn't wait for the feds. They didn't need the feds. They said, our image stinks. And even though this is not the majority of us, our image stinks. And you know, they're still trying to get John Gotti Jr. in jail to this day. To this day, they're still trying to get all of them, the children, the Bonannos, the Lucchesis, they're still trying to get all of them in prison to this day. And guess what? You don't think of Italians as all being mafiosos. You know why? Because the Italians police themselves. And when black women stop responding the way that you did and looking for excuses and a cover-up, and instead say, you know what, I am a black woman, and I don't care if the AIDS rate among white women is 70%. As a black woman, my standard is zero. I don't care if the bastard baby rate among white women is 90%. As a black woman, a 5% bastard baby rate is a disgrace. I am a black woman. I am held to the highest standard, not the damn lowest. The problem with black people, and particularly black women, when it comes to fixing our problems, is that they never compare themselves to the top. They always compare themselves to the bottom. White folk look up and say, that's where I could be. Black people, and particularly black women, look down and say, well, at least I'm doing better than that. And that's why the situation never changes. Let's start comparing ourselves to the best. Start doing that. And let's not compromise. Because when black women realize that talking to other black women, there's no safe place to make an excuse, that behavior will change. We need women to keep each other in check. When that happens, things will change.
Jason, I wanted to ask you, what do you, I know you talk to a lot of black women like myself and the caller and other black women, and you've met some resistance. Do you, when you say that to check other people, I really want to do this, and I know that I should do that in a, you know, safe place. I'm not going up and down the streets of East Baltimore checking people. But you know the resistance that you meet, and you know how things are done, and you know that if I check or if someone else says something to a woman, that it's going to be, you know, met with a lot of hostility and, you know, you're a hater, you're jealous, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't want to bring, I know we're talking about women, I'm not sure, I don't want to bring men too far into it, but a lot of times I've found that, you know, and this is a feeling, I can't bring a fact into it, but I feel like a lot of times as a black woman, when you do check another black woman, I felt like you're then checked by men based on who you are or what you look like or what, you know, your measure then. And I do feel like there's a lot of resistance that men and women both give to men and women. And just, it's like a circle, you know? It's like a circle. It's like a fight when you do it. Is there any way that you have found that is a way to maybe say, do you just recommend saying a statement and leaving it there and just putting something in the air for people to kind of pick up? Or how would you recommend a female, or is there an example or situation that you can, you know, would recommend trying to help or check?
Okay, first of all, it is not a fight, okay? Get over that idea. It's not a fight. It's a war. And that means you have to be relentless and uncompromising. So there is no excuse, and there is going to be no tolerance. As a black woman, you need to understand that, Gwen and caller, I want you all to understand something. As black females, as black women, do you understand how absolutely wretched your reputation is in society right now? Do you have any idea of the gravity of how low and in the gutter the image and reputation of black women is right now?
No.
It's life or death right now. People are laughing at us when we are, if we're hit by a bus. I mean, we're not cared for. People, we're the laughing stock, literally. People just do not care. There's no respect. It's very bad. It's scary. In for a black woman not to be in fear for herself and her sisters and her daughters. I worry about my daughter all the time. What do I say to her? Where do I steer her? You know, it's very scary out here for, I think I realize it all. Not at all, but I'm seeing it, and it's real bad out here for a sister. It's really bad. It's disgusting, and we're not going to be And people will treat you like that too, and
hold on, Gwen, because we're only on limited time here. From my caller from Miami, did you say that no, you don't know how bad the situation is?
No, yeah, basically, I didn't realize how bad it had gotten.
So you're saying that no, you didn't know how bad black women's reputation and image is in society right now. Okay, are you saying yes, you did know, or no,
yes,
you did not? Or are you saying that yes, you did not know?
No, I'm saying yes, I did not know. I mean,
okay.
I always knew there was some negative connotation. I mean,
are you saying that tonight is your first time hearing any of these things?
No, it's not my first time. What I'm saying is that I agree with you that I did not know it had gotten that bad. There had always been negativity associated with black women. But I didn't realize that it had gotten to that degree.
Okay. Let me just give you an example here. A white woman can accuse a black man of rape. He's probably going to jail. In Durham at Duke University, a black woman accused three white males of rape, and the prosecutor who prosecuted them wound up in jail. That one event alone should tell you everything. Mm-hmm. By itself, that one incident by itself should tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
When little white girls are kidnapped, headline news. Little black girls are kidnapped, and the only place you hear about it is on Facebook. Mm. Now, that's what having your head up yet in the sand about these issues will do to you. That's what'll happen. Black women's reputation is probably two steps above a slug. Is probably two steps above a millipede right now. And I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm saying that as you have relished the role of the Jezebel and tried to create empowerment through being everybody's whore, the problem is a man will pay a whore, he just won't respect her. And the society is paying, they're just not respecting. And what that means is that a police officer can beat your ass in the middle of the damn freeway on Channel 7 in Los Angeles. And you got people on there saying that, well, what did she do before the video started rolling? Had she been a white woman? And understand, the cop was sitting on top of her. He was straddling on top of her like you see him doing mixed martial arts in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wailing on her like you would a male. Now, for those of you who don't know mixed martial arts, understand he was hitting her with elbow strikes and forearm strikes, if you take a look at it. I guarantee the guy's taking martial arts classes, and particularly jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He was doing exactly what they do in the UFC, and he was giving it a workout on her, a black female. Now, had she been white, ESPN, Fox Sports, Jefferson Pilot, Comcast Sports, they all would have been vilifying this. CNN, MSNBC, they would be talking about this guy was doing MMA moves on a black female in the middle of the damn freeway. Where is the uproar over that? Where is it? Because you are a black female, and at this point, you all have moved into the category of the Indian untouchables. You're the dust children. They have maneuvered you to a point now that they can do things to you on national television, and nobody cares. Next stop, gunning you down, lynching you, raping you. That's the next stop. That's the next stop. This is what happens when you play this game of attrition. Spare my feelings. Spare my ego. Don't tell me nothing I don't want to hear. And don't you understand these events are happening to you the whole time? I'm a strong, independent woman. So in other words, what you said is that you don't need your men to defend you. And that is how you end up with 80-year-old black women getting slammed to the pavement by the police on video, put up on World Star Hip Hop and YouTube and everywhere else, with grown black men or they badass grandchildren who don't have a problem getting arrested for shooting up a club, but the cop slams his grandmama's face into the concrete and he does not move. Why? Because as a black male, the women are supposed to take care of things. Aren't they? That's what they told us. So this black woman can get her ass slobber knocked in the middle of I-5 and nobody black, not one black male who drive, you got folk in their cars recording it on cell phone, ain't nobody helping her. That's how far you have fallen as black women. That even if a crime were being committed against you, World Star Hip Hop is full of crimes being committed against black women, assault every single day. Remember the video of the white girls who were fighting, supposedly over their black boyfriend. One of them hits the other one in the head with a shovel. Police are involved. Black women beating the snot out of each other every single day on World Star Hip Hop. Ain't nobody, no charges filed. Police are not investigating. Y'all wake the hell up. You better wake the hell up and recognize the position that you are in. Because these were the steps to Nazi Germany. That you have allowed people to murmur against you, and you have embraced the role of being at the bottom of the damn ladder. You embraced it. You justified it. You rationalized it. And now they can just do to you whatever they want. Who's going to stick up for you? There ain't no black female judge is going to help you. No black female prosecutors. The black male police chiefs, they're beholden to white supremacy. And even if they weren't, who gives a damn? They're black females. Let them take, they can take care of themselves. They always told us that. Y'all friend in the damn world. The only Oscar that you can get is for being mammies, nannies, hoes. And they do it to your faces now. It's not even subtle anymore. The Black Entertainment Awards, and you came a hair from the best black female rapper being a white girl. They ain't even being subtle anymore. Don't you know that if a white woman can represent black female rappers in the House of Black Entertainment, don't you know that they can erase all of you now? Don't you know that if they can get away with this, they can erase you wholesale? Keep playing that game. Keep telling yourselves everything is all right, nothing is wrong. Keep doing that. Keep playing the game. Keep playing it, because these people ain't playing with you. Your situation right now is as dire as anything in Rwanda. Your situation right now is as dire as anything in war-torn Bosnia, in the shtetls. Your situation is as bad as anything there. Keep playing the game of, well, I got a cell phone and a Gucci bag, and don't hurt my feelings. Baby, that cop didn't hurt her feelings. He just hurt her face. And guess what? He's going to get away with it, too. That's the easiest prediction in the world. Had that been a white woman, could he ever have done that? The white media would be on this 24/7. Bill O'Reilly would be up in arms. The anti-government crowd would be showing this as another example of out-of-control government. She's a black female, and they ask, well, what did the whore do? I mean, what did she do to make the cop jump on her in the first place? What did she do? Doesn't he have a taser? That's another question you all didn't ask yourselves. Doesn't he have a taser? Why didn't he tase her? Because that wasn't his goal. His goal was not to tase her. His goal was to have justifiable use to test out his MMA moves. And you can get away with that on a black female. He was just waiting for the first black person to resist arrest. And he did not care if it was male or female. That's your white daddy government. Because black women are very good for calling the police. They're very good for that. Well, there's your friends. Keep telling yourselves that my image is okay. Keep telling yourself that my image doesn't matter. Keep telling yourself that my image is okay. You go, girl. Oprah Winfrey is my image. Beyonce is my image. Keep telling yourself that. Keep telling yourself everything is just fine. Caller from 317, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Gotcha, TVA, about Dr. Truth, and everybody on the phone. How you doing?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Ronan from Indianapolis.
And what's on your mind, brother?
Well, most definitely, I'm glad you're having a broadcast today, because I didn't feel like hearing the foolishness out here on Codependence Day or dealing with the family, because ever since listening to this broadcast, there are some real harsh truths I had to see for myself. I know what you mean about the statistics, but those are just snapshots of what we see here every day. Seeing certain family members where you're talking about the family, and I kept on thinking about, you know, power, wealth, and influence, about how economics is a key to this mess that's going on. And now I'm having a brother who's going in with a baby mother, and they're basically using the kids as parental chess pieces or ways to get extra money from, you know, welfare state. You know, another one, you know, she has seven kids, and she's 35, going on 36. And it's the same chick that, on the low, she tried to sleep with me, and I told her, hell no, I couldn't even do that to my family. So when you made mention about all these atrocities, these individuals who just waywardly have children just for the sake of having them, for a sense of control or, you know, expression of, you know, hopelessness, and nothing about power, wealth, and influence, it is outright disgusting and frightening. I look at everything out here, and you're having these individuals where, and I look through my life where I've seen, had a girlfriend where she let me spend the night, you know, and her mother was there. She was hoping her daughter would get pregnant, so whenever she leaves the house, she can have another baby and still have her income with her five-plus kids in the house. But thankfully, I don't have any children because I value my seed, and knowing it costs a great deal of money, not just money, but your time and your investment into who's supposed to follow after you. I look at everybody who's just out here being irresponsible and everything, and talking into my family, different, I mean, going to see my grandmother and everything, and talked about, you know, the 7 a.m. movie, and talking about, you know, what have you left your children, you know, as far as wealth or, you know, inheritance. I didn't like the answers that I saw or heard. And I had to take a few days off Facebook just to really take all this in. You know, I'm glad that there's intelligent black, you know, groups out here. I mean, just like, and it's growing as it needs to.
Well, you know, if you're going to talk about resources, and the call is not on the line anymore, I didn't drop her call. I guess her phone died, or maybe she had a chance to heart or whatever. But the phone lines are still open. She can definitely call back in, and I'll put her back on. But understand something. Where were the classes held to teach black females, black people, particularly black females, since we were talking about that, where were the classes needed to be held to teach black females how to use their iPhones? The biggest users of Twitter are black people. We're 13% of the population, but we're the biggest users of Twitter. Where was the class that made us number one in Twitter? We're dead last in math. We're dead last in English. We are, hell, we're moving into negative numbers in computer science.
Yes.
But we're number one in Twitter, so we learn how to use our cell phones just good enough to text some Negro. You can text your baby daddy, and you can find a new baby daddy on Twitter. And nobody wants to talk about that either, by the way. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that, by the way, you probably got siblings who were born because of Southwest Airlines and a screen name on Facebook. Nobody wants to talk about that now. By the way, if I make a documentary, oh, we will. Oh, we will. Because understand something, people. The most effective way of fighting white supremacy is to clear out the black trash.
Yes.
White supremacy gets hella mad when they see that you're going to clear out the black trash. So understand something. If I do one, it's going to go there. It's going to go there. Foot deep, knee deep, hip deep off in you. It's going to go there.
Yeah.
But understand something, brother. If they can figure out how to use a damn cell phone, they know how to act like they got some sense. They play the game. And the game that they've learned is that Boo Radley stuff. They have learned that if I act a fool, that will be my excuse. If I act dumb enough, somebody will put me in special ed. If I act helpless enough, somebody will give me Section 8 and food stamps. If I act stupid enough, I can even get a crazy check.
Yes.
You see, I'm not trying to compete against the system. I'm trying to carve out a niche for myself in the system. I can beg the church. No wonder they love the church so much. I can get freebies from the church. So if I act, if I coon and buffoon, if I act helpless enough, then I get something. And then they talk to folk like us, and we're not interested in trying to bow down and kowtow, and all of a sudden that becomes a problem for them. But our situation changes when we stop making excuses. We have to be like the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Being from Louisiana, I can tell you about how things changed after Hurricane Katrina. Brought in a new coach, new offensive and defensive coordinators. Let me tell you, they ran the Saints like the good old boys network down here. I mean, you got a job, you just kept it for life. But then the age of the super competitive NFL began, and that won't cut it anymore. Brought in a new coach, and he's a young man who wasn't from Louisiana. And Sean Payton said, no more excuses. I want a championship team. They got rid of everybody. They cleared house. They cleaned house from top to bottom. And guess what? They've got one of the consistently most competitive teams in the NFL. So much to the point now that it used to be that you didn't even talk about who was drafted or negotiations. Everybody wants to talk about Jimmy Graham right now.
Right.
Why? Because right. The Saints are trying to be a competitive team. Brother, we were the only team that we didn't even talk about who was the franchise player. Franchise player, what the hell is that? We didn't give a damn. We weren't going nowhere. Now that the team is expected to go somewhere and is expected to win, they hold themselves to a higher standard. And as black people need to do the same. No more excuses, brother. It's just time to admit that the team stinks. The team sucks.
Yes.
Everybody is going to have to take a shellacking. Nobody is exempt. And we will not allow you to deflect when the conversation turns to you. When the situation is about black financial empowerment, you are not going to change the conversation to communism and communalism and, well, back in ancient Egypt. No, we ain't playing that. And if the conversation is about bastard baby makers as black women, you will be expected to hold the line. Black women will be expected to hold the line of black empowerment. That you must be the most demanding. Now, the way that you deal with females who are out of control, Gwen, the problem with black women is y'all use Twitter and Facebook, you just use it for bullcrap. You post on Facebook, why don't you do like some of these women do and actually put up some stuff? That's a place where you can put up something every single day as a black female. And you'll get more of a response than that. And on the street, there's nothing wrong with that. You can put up just two daily insights. Just pick two things. It doesn't have to be something out of the news. It can be whatever issues come to your mind. Or if it doesn't come to your mind, come to my page. I guarantee you'll find something there. And just post up two things a day where your goal is to discipline other black women about something that they're slacking on. And there's plenty. There's no excuse. You got a Twitter. You got a Facebook. Use them. Now, if you sit up here and make that your excuse that I can't put, and you and I had this conversation months ago, Gwen, and you still ain't did it. You're calling back tonight with the same old sad-ass excuses, same old sad-ass talk you had months ago when you first called in. So we're going to get around to doing it, Gwen.
Doing what you suggested on Facebook?
Yeah, we did that months ago, Gwen.
Yeah, I've been. I don't know if you've been.
No,
on
you ain't been
that's
doing,
all I do.
No, you haven't been
well,
doing
that's
it.
All I, that's
no,
that's
you
all
have
I
not.
Do.
No, you have not. You're gonna put that's up two things a day, and the two things that you post up, you're gonna tag me in. Okay.
Okay.
You're gonna put up two things a day, and the two things that you put up, you're gonna tag me in it. That way, then we won't have to worry about accounting for you. Okay.
All right.
Ronan, I'll let you have the last word.
Well, in closing, I want to say to the ladies, and especially the fellas who are listening to this, accountability is not the enemy. And here's an example. As a man, my body count is 194 women. And having to look back at myself in those situations, there's only one time I've been burnt with an STD. There was a couple times I've had individuals who tried to poke holes in my condoms and make me an unintentional father of situations. And when I look at all that, I have to figure out what my role in that is and what I have to do to change that. And listening to Intelligent Black Thought is not just a choice. It's a matter of survival. Because having children without a legacy or a purpose, that's one of the greatest crimes you can do as far as a black man or a woman, period. This cooning and buffoonery has to stop. Because all this soft-shoeing to oblivion is an admission of weakness. It means that you don't, it's a grand display of self-hatred, if anything. So, do like I do. I don't claim to know everything, but seeing that there are people who know many things that I need to know, I listen, I take notes, and I take action. This whole exceptional situation where, you know, me and my friends, the underwhelming minority will never overshadow the glaring majority. We need to stop with the excuses because not putting any excuses, no passes, to be whooping our asses in every angle and possibly every means out here. They're not taking any shorts. So neither should we, especially with ourselves.
While you're expressing discipline, you need to express some discipline on that body count, too, while you're at it. Because that's a Nightline special waiting to happen. Thank you very much for giving us a call, though, brother. Please do give us a call again. Mona, do you hear what's going on here?
Yes, I do. I've been sitting over here wondering, do we get vouchers or food vouchers for excuses? Do we get extra points on our credit cards for excuses? Because I'm sitting over here and I'm very perplexed about where this young lady, Sally, lives in California, that she does not see that women are at an all-time low in California.
Yeah, she has said it there before, but I think she was saying she was Miami.
She said she was, was born in Miami. She now lives in California.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what she was bad. Yeah. She's flip-flopping from coast to coast, but got the same story on both coasts. I didn't know that the coasts were doing so well because it looked like hell from where I was looking.
Exactly. And for her to be 31 and me 20 years almost more than older than her, and she doesn't see what's going on, then this young lady must be blind. I don't care. I need to know what part of California she's in because she sees it on the TV. If she belongs to Facebook, she sees it on Facebook. Like you said, if she belongs to any kind of internet social program, she has to see it. And we just keep on closing our eyes and keep on saying that, oh, it's only 1%. You can look around. I don't even watch TV. But when I go out into the world, I see it. So she's lying when she says she didn't know that black women were at an all-time low. But here's the thing. If we do not talk about what's going on in our community, we are saying that we do not love our people. We are saying that we have to stop this foolishness. And we're saying this out of love for our people. Because if you look bad, I look bad. And we might not say it in a loving way because loving way has not helped. It's worsened it. We have to call this foolishness for what it is.
But when you talk about not seeing themselves at an all-time low, the first question you have to ask yourselves is there a definition among black people, and since we're talking about black women, females in particular, is there a definition of low among them? And if it is, what is the definition of low? What is the definition of low among black males today? Gwen, Mona, what is the definition?
Not having a man.
You can be a busted chick who is getting on your Twitter at a homeless shelter and showing yourself at the homeless shelter, and black women will not in a group check you on that. Girl, you on Twitter. Don't you see you at a homeless shelter? What is the definition of low? What is the definition of low life among black females? What is the definition of that?
Right now, obviously, there is no definition of low life because that if you don't have a definition of low life, then you're co-signing the behavior. Low life, twerking. Low life, fighting. Low life, cursing. Low life, being a single baby mama. Your children don't have a father. lowlife out here naked. Lowlife, attention whoring. Posting a picture every 15 minutes for likes for people that you don't even know, not understanding that these men just want to have sex with you. They have no respect for you. That's lowlife. Lowlife being on the county, being on the welfare, not wanting something better for your children because of your irresponsibility, of you laying up with men, opening up your legs. That's lowlife. But since everybody's doing it, that's not bad. And at 30-something years old, your generation is the most low-life generation we have. Who are your role models? Who are you modeling yourself behind? Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, y'all out here butt naked every day, nasty, not looking like you take a bath. Your hair is unkept. Your feet don't have no lotion on them. You're just nasty. Every time a man tells you to sit down, you lay down. And then you're throwing your kids out the window because you're frustrated because of the situation that you put yourself in. And you find out today life is not a joke. And you had no business doing what you were doing because you couldn't handle this. So the harsh reality has hit you. And now somebody needs some help. But you was a strong black independent woman. You didn't need nobody. No life. That's low life.
Can I ask you and Mona something? Because Mona makes me want to ask this question. Did it happen first that it was told to black women that you are strong and independent and you don't need a man, and then we kind of pushed them in a way? Or was there a problem with – I know that black – with men having a job has always been – tough, or the employment rate, but I'm saying when we say strong black women, is this because something happened and we felt that was a rhetoric that fit us and then we kind of continued with it, or did we start saying that and then push the men away with that, or were we already kind of separate at that point?
I don't know where strong black woman came from. I wasn't taught to be a strong black woman. I wasn't taught that. No other ethnic race goes out of saying, I'm a strong white woman, I'm a strong Asian woman. I don't know where that came from. And the men sure didn't tell us that.
I know where it came from. You did not hear the term strong black woman before the 1970s. And it really started with some of your media figures like Pam Grier. That's right. She's back in both teams, but don't let that stop you there. You see, white society has always, the problem is that black women, once white women gave them the pat on the head, made them their pets during the feminist movement of the 60s, black men, they felt that they had an elevated position over black men. And what white society did was it carved out a persona under which they would be accepting of black women to a certain extent. They would let you on the porch. They wouldn't let you in the house. They'd let you on the porch. And that strong, independent thing was something that white folk set up here because they knew that destabilized black men. So that's why when you have flaming homosexuals like Tyler Oakley, glad for what he's done on YouTube and everything, has been a role model of success. But when you see white males sitting up there with the, hey, girl, and black women just sitting there cheesing like that mess is cute. See, white men have always, they didn't even have to try hard to get black women to adhere. They didn't have to try hard. That they have always just been open to that kind of thing. And that they sit up here and, I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need no man. Now, if it was a white woman saying that to a white man, he would sit there and say, really? But when it's a black woman, they sit there and say, you go, girl. You tell him. You don't have to take nothing off him. I've seen it. I've worked for the biggest corporations in this country, and I have seen it as white male managers and white male executives, and I could say names right now. See, I got to be careful. because, see, these other folk out here can talk and nobody gives a damn because they're not actually talking about anything that can be proven. I can prove what I say, and I could say names. And if I say names, the Black Channel's going to make international headlines, and TVA is going to end up in a couple of courtrooms somewhere because they will have to silence me. They'll have to. We're almost to a point where we're ready for that little battle. At some point, I'm going to take on that battle, but we're not there just yet. But let me tell you, in some of the biggest corporations in this country, I could name them for you. And I have watched them for decades do that. And you all don't understand how societal engineering works. You understand it does not take 100 years to change the trajectory of a culture. It only takes 10. Truth be told, we can start the process in 5 years. You can start to alter the trajectory of a culture within just 5 years. Very easy to do. And once they realize that welfare and food stamps and WIC made Black women especially receptive to white men, that was when white men started these little nudges of encouragement. So if a white female talks smack, white men put the smack down. A Black female does it, and they sit there, their white female coworkers and their white male coworkers sit there egging them on, congratulating them, all over YouTube, all over the news. Go back to the Jeffersons. Mona, we can go back to the Jeffersons. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You all remember the maid?
Mm-hmm. Florence?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember the way that she was about things? Do you remember her attitude?
Yes, she was very sassy.
She was the only damn maid who didn't believe in doing no work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember when she left the show? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember who they replaced her with?
No.
Wasn't
they replaced
white,
her with,
the
I believe, a little. They replaced her with a little Latina chick, I believe.
Oh yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the first? That's right, folks. I was sitting there watching it as a kid. I was very young, but I remember it. And remember the first episode that the little Hispanic woman was on. Remember that? Do you remember that Louise had a problem with her? It wasn't the same. But do you remember what happened at the end of the episode? They didn't start liking her until she started back-talking and acting like Florence. She started imitating Florence's mannerisms, and that's when they started liking her. Thank you, Norman Lear. Because, see, he put that in the popular consciousness. That you are not acceptable in a Black home unless you act like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're the damn maid. There ain't nothing independent about you. Now, let's move over to the white side of town, Brady Bunch. Do you remember their maid?
Yeah.
Alice.
Now, these were two shows that were running on television at the same time.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
Now, did you notice the difference between George Jefferson's maid and the Brady's maid?
Yeah.
Oh, they both had maids. George Jefferson even had more than one. That's right, brothers and sisters. This is Black Channel. This is where we take you all the way. See, you didn't know this because it hasn't been passed down to you. And most of your mamas were kissing Black men, white men's asses, which is why they don't want to tell you the story the way that it happened. They don't want to tell you the story the way that it happened. They're telling you that a bunch of other stuff happened. They're not telling you what they did to get under white men's boots. They're not telling you all that. They're not telling you that they played the game. But Mona, Gwen, I can tell you all exactly when it happened and where it came from. I'll tell you exactly where it happened. Now, your mama ain't going to tell you, Gwen. She's not going to tell you because she would have to end the story saying, oh, yeah, I played the game and it blew up in my face. Now, she's not going to tell you this because she doesn't want to have to admit to you that she played the game. Your fathers don't want to admit to you that they cooned and buffooned and played the game. And it didn't work. So they want to rewrite their histories now. But I'm a strong, independent woman. That was boiling for a long time, and they have conditioned it and inculcated it the whole time. Donna Summers, she works hard for the money. Queen Latifah, ladies first. We can go down the list. Beyonce, Oprah Winfrey, Alice Walker, Toni Morrison. Perpetuating a lesbian pathology among black women. And it's got all kinds of little slogans. All my single ladies, you go girl. Black girls rock, strong and independent. Don't take no mess. We can go down the list of failed pathologies. It wasn't that long ago. It only took them one generation to inject this poison in. Just one. Just one. But yeah, I can take you all the way down there if you want to go. You ain't going to like what you're going to find.
Well, Jason, it's so funny what you just said. Quickly, what you just said was so funny because my mom just told me a story today. She's leaving for a trip next week and with my father. And she told me that she was telling the people at work, the white men at work and some other people at work, that she's leaving for a week and they're going to the islands or something like that. She said that one of the white men, one of the managers at work, I guess a person right above her, project manager, said, all right, you know, said, all right, well, you go ahead with your man. And she said she was really offended by that, and she was really upset and mad, and she didn't even know what to say at the time. But then she said she went into work. She went into work, and I guess this happened yesterday. She went back into work, and she typed him an email, let him know some stuff, and they had an email exchange. And he, you know, and then he didn't want to write back. So she's actually afraid that it's going to, I don't want to say afraid, but I think she is afraid that it's going to go further and it's going to cause trouble, you know. But it's really interesting, and I just wanted to add that because what you said is exactly, that is exactly what white men do and white women too. And they actually sit back and laugh at you when you do that independent stuff and when you do all that. And I want my sisters to understand that white women talk you and they say a lot of stuff to you in your ear, but notice when their man comes around, whether he's white, black, whatever color he is, notice how they act and how they change. They don't play that game with their men. They pass that stuff off to you, but they don't play that game with their men. And notice all the women who do try that with their men, they're ugly white women. They're ugly women. They're lesbian women that nobody wants. They're older women that are done having children. They're not women that men would even want anyway. So I guess they kind of have to be lesbians or feminists or whatever they are. And we need to see those things of it because I've never seen white women pull any type of white women in the military will stand around other military men and say they don't even believe women should be in war. They'll turn around and tell me something else. But around men, they don't play the strong woman stuff.
They understand that, and they are injecting societal warfare, and every one of them are foot soldiers. And they know what they're doing as a group. There was no national meeting of the Legion of Superheroes. I'm sorry, the Legion of Evildoers. It wasn't that. It wasn't a national meeting of the Legion of Supervillains. As a group, they understand their influence in black society. And they are acting in a unified, united, congruent way. We as black, we're pretending that we don't see that. Let me go ahead and bring another caller in here. A caller from 336. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, what's up, Jason? This is James Matthew from North Carolina. I'm on your Facebook post, bro, but I'm JD18 in the chat room. What's up, brother?
What's on your mind?
Oh, man, it's just a lot of stuff that you hit me with. I was thinking earlier, when you was talking about the welfare stuff, I was like, do poor people have, like, a lot of children out of wedlock because, like, basically it's escapism? Just poor people are generally, not all, but a lot of them are just lazy to get out, change their conditions and do something about it. So they have children.
I shouldn't say lazy. We shouldn't say that necessarily. You have to understand that children are, Robert Kiyosaki said it very well when he phrased it, children are the investments of the poor. Poor people invest in children because to them that's an accomplishment in their world. You see, human beings are wired to accomplish, to do something. And for a poor person, since they have failed on a financial and societal level, they invest in children for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it's the only thing they've really accomplished. Number two, that is their safety net for taking care of them. Poor people can't afford to pay other people to help them. So they have children to create their own domestic workforce.
But Jason, this is what pisses me off when other people say I'm being too hard. I'm like, how can you keep complaining that it's hard taking care of these kids, but you keep on popping them out? And that's the thing I hate about the government, is the government saying, well, black women, y'all need to stop popping out kids, but why don't y'all just take the welfare system away from them, cut them off? Why do you guys keep on giving it to them?
Because
just
the
why?
Welfare system is a system of white supremacy. Look here, brother, let me explain something to you, okay? And Professor Black Truth understands this. All of our luminaries understand this. You all are being played for fools. You don't understand. I mean, Neely Fuller was so correct. If you don't understand how white supremacy works, everything else will just confuse you. Everything else you think you know about it will just confuse you. Because all the things that you think are working against it work for it. First of all, the reason why it is stupid and silly to talk about black Democrats and black Republicans is because none of them are for you. It's all a shell game where they both sides pretend that they are for you or against you. But when you take a look at the legislation, it only goes in one way. Example, Michigan, the emergency finance manager law that is now taking over Benton Harbor and Detroit. That law was passed by Democrat Jennifer Granholm. She was the governor of Michigan. She passed that law. Never used it, but passed it. Why'd you do that, Jennifer? Why would you pass a law you weren't going to use? The next governor of Michigan is the current governor, Rick Snyder, and he's been swinging that law like a hammer. But he's only been swinging it in the black areas of Michigan. So it's the shell game. Jennifer Granholm goes to black folk and says, I'll protect you. And then her and Rick Snyder get together behind closed doors. All right, these niggas bought it. So your people, Rick Snyder's people who voted for him, they will love it that he's swinging that hammer. And he will get all the blame for it. Jennifer Granholm, however, was the one who got the law put into place. So she was able to help forward white, to help actually promote white supremacy, while at the same time appearing not to do so. She's telling everybody, I passed the law, but I never intended for it to be used like this. You lying wench. If you didn't intend for it to be used like that, then the law wouldn't say you could use it like that. So she did that because it was her job to get it passed. Just like the three strikes law. Newt Gingrich was the one who wanted it. Bill Clinton was the one who passed it. And so the first black president, him and Newt got together and said, let's get these niggas locked up. And guess what? Black folk are lined up to vote for whom? Hillary Clinton.
That's the thing that kills me.
Stop.
Oh, sorry about that.
I'm done explaining the game to you here. That is just one example. Now, current example at the White House, Barack Obama, when it's time to come get your vote, can show up at your church. But now he has done everything he can for gays, Hispanics, and now illegal aliens. He's hard on the hoof about that. Mm-hmm. The Republicans pretend that they are against illegal aliens when, in fact, they are for them. But they're not going to go tell their voters that, because the guys who line their pockets are big corporations. And they want illegals here. Truth be told, they want them to stay illegals. They don't actually want them to become legal. They want a quasi-illegal state where they can just use them for labor and send them home when they're done. And you will notice the exact same pathology with welfare. Welfare is a white empowerment program. TBA, food stamps are a white empowerment program. TBA, you figure that. Food stamps can only be spent in one place. Where? Where? Hey, somebody on this phone.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that. Like, food stamps can only be spent like at white businesses.
Food stamps are only spent at a grocery store or an approved outlet. But 99% of those are owned by whom?
Whites.
And that's the way it's always been. So you are the excuse for these corporations and businesses to siphon money from the government. It is laundered and funneled through you and cycles back to these corporations. Remember last year when the EBT cards locked up? Who processes those EBT payments? Did you all know that Chase and Wells Fargo process fully around half of the food stamp purchases in America? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you all thought they only deal with dollars, but they actually deal with the processing of the payments at the card terminals at Walmart, Target, Costco. Well, if you get my point. Kroger's, Albertsons, they actually deal with the processing of the payment. Because just like you swipe your debit card and the bank or Visa gets a piece of that, Wells Fargo, Chase, and several other large banks, they get a piece of when you swipe your food stamps card. You all did not know that. Don't believe me. See, this is the Black Channel. Don't believe a damn word I say. Go look it up. Look it up. The Huffington Post. I posted up articles on my website. I posted up articles on my Facebook. Go look it up. I'm telling you, they're the one. You thought you'd just swipe a card because you can cycle through your brain. Well, Visa and MasterCard process my bank. My bank processes my debit card purchase. Yeah, but the state that you are in, basically banks like Wells Fargo and Chase, they went to all the states and said, we will hand you set up this Louisiana purchase card. Or whatever that thing is in California, I forget what you call it. And you set up the cards. No. You give us a contract. We will set up everything for you. We will set up the database. We will set up the processing. We've already got the infrastructure in place at the stores. You give us the contract, and we will handle the processing of your food stamps for you. The federal government gives you the money, and we take care of the processing. And it will be treated as a purchase like any other. Only this purchase goes against a food stamps account and not a bank account. Same thing we do with everything. And guess what? That's who handles. You all thought the state handles it. No. The state does not handle that. The state is simply a facilitator. The banks handle it. And your bastard baby makers are what launder the money. I can take you all the way. See, other people just tell you the big banks. I can name names. Don't you know how much liability and trouble I'm putting, risk I'm putting myself at right now? I can name names. I can name names for you. Take a look at Donald Sterling. That man became a billionaire. How did he become a billionaire? Section 8 housing. Oh! You all didn't know that. You didn't know that Donald Sterling is a slumlord. And that was where he got the $12 million that would eventually go to buy the Clippers, that would eventually go in the sale of the Clippers for $2 billion. Oh, you didn't know that. You didn't know that all that real estate he owned were not posh houses.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Trump, Donald Trump's father, another slumlord. Silverstein, who owned the World Trade Towers before they got knocked down. He called it tenement housing. What you mean, sir, is Section 8 housing. Isn't that what you really meant, sir? Isn't that what you really mean, is Section 8 housing? No, I can take you all the way there. I can name names. I ain't guessing my way through this. See, other people out there tell you all these generalities. They won't name names because they don't know. They know something is wrong, but they can't tell you what's wrong. And that is why this is the Haven of Intelligent Black Thought. You all just found out stuff here tonight that you didn't even know. I name names. I challenge you. Get on Google and try to prove me wrong. Go ahead, look it up, and try to prove me wrong on anything I just said. Paste my message on here tonight. Take my audio. Chop it up and see if you can prove me wrong. TBH said Wells Fargo processes food stamp payments. I've got proof that they didn't. Show me it's wrong. Show me Donald Sterling's not a slumlord taking Section 8 housing. I dare you do it. I dare you to look into it and prove me wrong. I dare you. I challenge anybody. I defy you. Call me out on it if you can. There's a reason why this is the only place that can make 7 a.m. And trust me, as scared as they've been of Hidden Colors, they're going to turn petrified from 7 a.m. I name names, and I put it out there. I will not let you go any further with it. It will be substantiated. I will have documentation in place. You see, when I got to document things like this, it takes a while because I document what I do. You will not be on websites talking about, I got this wrong or got that wrong. I've got my documentation. Let's go. Head up. Let's go. Brother, you don't know how deep the game goes. Before the subprime crisis happened, you can go look it up. There were some large tenement housing projects in Chicago. Look it up. Prove me wrong. Come on back and prove me wrong. There was a large tenement housing project in Chicago. I can't remember the exact name of it, but for some large brown ones. You can go look them up for yourselves. Some large brown ones. And this investment consortium had gotten together $2 billion to buy them. Look it up for yourselves. And then the market tanked. They were speculating, and then the market tanked. They got together $2 billion of private capital to buy a bunch of Section 8 housing in Chicago. You do not take out a loan that large for Section 8 housing if you do not want if you do not desire Section 8 to exist. Now, they eventually wound up taken a soaking because of that, because the market tanked and they lost their shorts and their investors did. But my point is, brother, $2 billion. $2 billion. Brother, they're not betting against Section 8. They said, I'm betting it all on Section 8. These are, now, do you think there was a white, there was a black male among that group? Do you think there was a black person anywhere in that group of investors?
Probably Obama.
Well, but good guess. I guarantee you there's not a black investor that was in that group. Show me Donald Sterling's black partners. Show Frederick Trump's black partners. Or Donald's, for that matter. Show them to me. Brother, the game is so... And who do you think they're paying to say, don't you be cutting Section 8? Brother, we got big money wrapped up in this. We got big money wrapped up in these housing projects. So what does John Boehner do? What does Eric Cantor, who just got voted, do? What do? They go on Rush Limbaugh, and they go on Bill O'Reilly, and they go on Sean Hannity, and they talk against welfare, and they talk against food stamps. They talk against all that stuff, and then you hear that they've made another deal with Wells Fargo. And where does Wells Fargo get their money from? Where does Walmart? Did you know that is it 60% of Walmart? 60% of Walmart's? No, not 60%. I got to get the exact number on that because I want to be exact. Of Walmart's grocery profit come from food stamps. It's around half. I need to go find the exact number, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of half, depending on where you are. It's going to be between a third and a half.
Like
I need to look it up. Don't ask me to donate in stone, but they get at least a third of their grocery store profits from food stamps. Now, do you think that Walmart wants to see a third of their profits collapse?
Nope. Because that's less than this. They're going to lose a lot of money, and that's like, that defeats the purpose of capitalism, trying to make as
now,
many as you can.
And it's not just them. Walmart, Albertsons, Kroger's, We can go to Target. We can go down the list. All of them have bet their money on food stamps. Do you think any of them want to see a cut in food stamps?
No.
Do you think any of these, and where Section 8 is concerned, those are all white landlords from the person who owns a single house. It's not a bunch of black folk who, it would be different if black people own Section 8 housing, but black people are just the mechanism by which we facilitate the transfer of funds for Section housing. Black people don't own any of those properties. Those are all owned by white folk. So do you think that these are white, the same white people who yell about white power and white supremacy, they bring illegal aliens to take jobs. They talk out of both sides of their faces. So when you say, why does the government keep doing it? Brother, they're playing the same game on you they do about everything else. They pretend that they're against it when in reality they are for it. I dare you or anybody else to show me where John Boehner had, they can sit up here and get legislation through for corporations. They can get that through so fast it makes your head spin off your neck. But they can't do nothing about food stamps, can't do nothing about welfare, can't do nothing about Section 8, can't make that move. How do you sit up here and can get no bid contracts for Halliburton with no debate, nothing, but black people are the weakest, most powerless people in America, and you can't cut the food stamp rolls against the weakest people in America? The folk who you can jail just for saying they were licking on a lollipop wrong? And you can't take welfare and Section 8 from them? Get the hell out of here. It's not what you can do. It's what you won't do. But you have a constituency to make happy. So you get on the radio and rah-rah. But when you get back to Washington, Donald Sterling calls the tune. Wells Fargo calls the tune. Don't you know Wells Fargo has got lobbyists that say, don't you cut the food stamps? Do you think that Wells Fargo wants to see a cut in food stamps after what I just explained to you? Do you think that their lobbyists are sitting, the lobbyists are sitting right there when John Boehner and them say, when the Tea Party says, let's cut food stamps by 50%, John Boehner talks to the lobbyists and it comes back and says, let's cut it by 10. Better yet, let's cut it by 5% over 10 years. Let's do it like that. Knowing full well that at that rate, the rate of expansion is going to outstrip however much you're talking about taking it down. And he knows that. Jason, it's a game.
Jason, would you consider the welfare system like a financial plantation? Basically, the overseers are the corporations, and the slaves are the people on welfare that have food stamps and EBT?
I would consider it more a money laundering operation.
Okay.
Because they are plugging in, they are taking revenue from the government that does not actually need to be there. They are creating the disease so that they can facilitate the ongoing treatment. So they provide the section, white men provide the Section 8 housing. White men provide the grocery stores. And black, white, and white politicians take the money from the taxpayers to funnel it back to those corporations. And your black residents and your black bastard baby-making mammies are the excuse that you use for continuing it. Just like your wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are the excuse that you use to keep funneling money to Raytheon and Loral Hughes and Lockheed Martin. And Professor Truth is absolutely right in the chat room. Wells Fargo also get money from Western Union by allowing illegal aliens to send money home. The game is so deep in this, people. The game is so deep in, you got no idea how far it goes.
Are you going to touch on this at 7 a.m.?
I will deal with as much as I can. In my mind, however, because 7 a.m. is about what black folk need to do.
Okay.
If I touch on something like this, this is something that I would reserve for a documentary about single mothers. So I can take you 360 degrees, show you all the angles of why it is that this giant welfare apparatus is in place, and nothing you do seems to be able to get rid of it. And as long as your females continue to play the game, off it goes. Now, Mona, correct me if I'm wrong. I saw some stories that said that, and I don't know if this is 100% true. I need to because I saw some credible news sources saying this, that in California that they're either taking or they want to expand to allow food stamps to be accepted at, like, McDonald's and fast food restaurants?
They want to. They already are. They're okay. Welcome at McDonald's, liquor stores, everywhere.
So EVP you can go order. Are you telling me that we can go into McDonald's and we can order a Big Mac and a cafe latte and pay for it on our food stamp card?
Yes. And you can buy cigarettes and all paper goods in the liquor store. Yes, you can.
Are you serious?
I'm very
because
serious.
Because that's supposed to be, now that's supposed to be, you're not supposed to be able to do that. Food stamps are only supposed to be for food purchases.
Exactly. But you can do it here. Yes,
now, that is a huge, now, don't you know at that point, that's what they did in rap music here, rap about booze and hoes and smoking weed. Oh, you got food stamps? Here, you're not, your obesity rate is not high enough. Let us let you give them at McDonald's and Wendy's. Let's help you out because you already don't eat healthy enough, but I'm too broke. Here, here's a food stamps card. Now you can go get all the food you need.
You can get hair products with EBT cards. I've seen it in the beauty supply. Yes.
That's true. That's true. I've seen it. I've seen people get liquor. I've seen they put it all on one card, an EBT card, and you can use it wherever it's accepted, like a Visa.
So we're being locked into a permanent underclass, and our so-called black city council members, officials, are not saying anything about it. They're just ignoring it.
They're not ignoring it. They are a part of it.
Exactly.
Barack Obama was not. This is why I keep bringing it back to y'all. Hell, I should do an overtime tonight. This is why I keep bringing the game back to y'all. Where was Barack Obama before he came to Chicago? Tell me where he was involved in the community before he came to Chicago. Oh, wait a minute. You can't.
Wasn't he like in Hawaii?
He was in Hawaii, Indonesia. He was all over the world. Barack Obama has absolutely no connection to black people whatsoever. And that is why Tom Daschle, PBS Frontline did a special on it where Tom Daschle says it. That's right. Tom Daschle, who was the Senate Majority Leader, he said it. He said that I picked Barack Obama because, go look at it on Frontline, he says it. They got him right there in the interview saying it straight out. I chose Barack Obama because the Republicans had swift-voted us in 2004 with John Kerry. And I wanted a candidate that they could not swift-boat us with. Somebody who didn't have a track record so long that they could go after him. Somebody who had a personality that could withstand scrutiny. And they chose Barack Obama. But they needed to bring him to Chicago, and they needed him to work in the community with some bullcrap initiatives for a couple of years. Call yourself a community organizer. We will pay your bills for you. Just get involved in the community and start social networking, which is what he was doing. That's game, people. Social networking was what he was really doing. He put together his social network, and next thing you know, he's sitting up here running for state representative. And you all should see the story of how he finangled his way into that. Dirtiest player in the game. They removed a black representative who was already there.
Was it Alan Keyes?
No.
No.
You need to look it up, brother.
All right, sorry about that.
I want all of y'all to look this stuff up so that you can get educated. Prove me wrong.
Yes, sir.
Prove me wrong on these things. But they financed Barack Obama. They financed Barack Obama for the purpose of getting him in place. He went from state representative to U.S. Senate and then immediately to president. That's right. When the party wants to back you, that's how quickly they can do that. That's how quickly they can do it if they want to back you. And we can go down the list, brother. I'm sitting here giving it to you nicely right now. We can go down the list. We can go down the list. So in the Detroit City Council, why do you think that they were able to come back and arrest all of them quickly? In the Detroit City Council, they sat up here and arrested brought charges against most of the black council members. Kwame Kilpatrick. How is it that all these black folk were off and all this stuff, Dr. Claude Anderson shows up talking about distributorship, can't get nothing done, and before Kwame Kilpatrick is out of office, they got indictments against half the city council, the mayor and half the city council. Because they already knew, because they were all in on it. In Chicago, same thing. Atlanta, same thing. New Orleans, same thing. They are the black faces of white imperialism and white supremacy, as Pinkney said. They are the black faces of white imperialism. Brother, they're all in on it.
But that's the thing about black conservatives that kill me. It's like they try to say, well, they always try to deter the conversation. Blacks, you need to stay away from liberals, join the Republican Party. Republicans are where it's at. Then I'm like, okay, then is it the Republican Party and Democrat are funded by the same corporations? So why would I vote, give my vote to you if I know you're going to do the same thing as the Democrats?
But here's
just
the
not,
problem.
Just push my...
The issue that we need to recognize is that as long as we as a people do not have power and wealth, we will never have influence. All you can do is take the politicians that they bring you. Now, I do touch on this in 7 a.m. I touch on this extensively in 7 a.m. that politics is worthless to black people right now because all we brought to the table is our vote. But your vote is worthless if you do not have a candidate that you can compel to do your bidding. And if you don't have any money, ultimately you are electing him to office to find a sponsor. And his sponsors were non-black people because his people didn't bring him nothing. When we go to Philadelphia, Michael Nutter. When you go to Atlanta with Kasim Reed. When you go to D.C., from Adrian Finney to Gray Maynard. Brother, we don't have, without money, all we can do is elect people to be the next stooge of white supremacy. Nobody is going to be a crusader for us because we can't bankroll them. His opponents are going to get out there and do everything under the sun to remove him from office, and all you did was vote. But if you don't have control across the spectrum, what you going to do? All you can do is vote. That's it. That's all you can do.
We need to start like a financial think tank more than ever. Holy crap, this situation is really deep. All this information.
No. Oh, Lord. Brother, the time for thinking is over.
So it's more action now.
What you need and what we need is we need for black people as a group to acquire power, wealth, influence. TBA, how do you do that? Do you own a business? Are you self-employed? No, I'm not. Then you are not on the road to power, wealth, and influence, so you better get on the good foot.
Yeah.
If you are not discussing with me your business ownership, you are not in the game. You're talking big, but you're not in the game. You say big corporations. What you mean are big businesses. Because consumers are the electorate. That's another word for consumer, if you think about it. The electorate are the consumers. Players are the businesses.
Gotcha.
You and I are sitting out here wishing we could talk to a congressman. You write letters to a congressman. The lobbyists speak to your congressman. And you only get that once you have power, wealth, and influence. You don't get that any other way. And black people have worked and fought as hard as they can. They've tried to dodge this on every level at every angle. We are looking for anything and everything we can do to avoid the inevitable and unavoidable conclusion. The only alternative, the only option. You're going to have to build businesses. You have to build an economic foundation. You have to do that. Otherwise, you do not control politics, education, your media. You don't control any of that. None.
My last word is, I asked you a question in the chat room, but I don't think you saw it. But I'm just like, I like your momentum, brother. And it's just like a lot of black males have just given up on black people. What makes you, what fuels you and makes you not give up and just say, you know, I'm going at this hard. I'm going to do whatever it takes for my people to get this message. Like, what gives you the motivation, brother? Black first.
What fueled Marcus Garvey? What fueled Malcolm X? What fueled Huey Newton? What fueled any of them? At some point, there is only so much. At some point, the spirit of Africa is going to rise. And you will not be able to buy it off. You will not be able to intimidate it. You will not be able to bludgeon it, and you will not be able to kill it. At some point, the spirit of Africa always rises. Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. Let me take another caller here. A caller from 678. You're on live with the Black Channel.
How you doing, Jason? This is Dominique Collin from Atlanta. You definitely brought it home tonight from everything talking about Wells Fargo and Chase with the food stamps. I remember when I first learned that, and I told people it's a big business. They don't want it to cut because they're making money off of it. Every time the cars are swiped, those service charges, those fees, to the point where everybody's trying to get an EBT machine from convenience stores to food marts, Family Dollars, the drug stores. That's the big thing now. We take EBT, so it's all a big part of our economy now. So if you were to take that away, that's going to do some other damage that people are not truly ready for. But I wanted to get back to what you were talking about earlier in terms of the young lady from, I think, Miami, Florida, where she was saying how she didn't see certain things, and I'm a year older than she is. And the issue that you have here is you have a group of people to where they're so used to shaming other people about their problems, but they won't be hard on themselves. You got this group that will literally cuss out Melissa Speaks, dog her, trash her, bring up her past, throw everything that she has said her mistakes was, trying to uplift and empower them, but they keep throwing that stuff back up her face the way you did it too. Look at your situation, who are you to talk about us, but it's okay for you to say, well, the men need to step up. Brothers will get on each other if they're messing up or getting out of line. But the women will continue to make excuses. They will continue to blame other people. And if you do try to get on them, they will make it seem like you're gay, you hate women, you got an issue, you're a misogynist, whatever name they'll throw at you just to shut you up and shut you down. And then they wonder why articles like Black Women Only Have a Net Worth of $5 are coming out. And I remember that first came out in 2008. And it has not increased since then. It's still at $5. If men are so bad, why do you keep making bastard babies by these same men? And this whole Jeremy Meeks thing really just confirmed everything I always told people. You always say you want to get men, but here you're obsessing over a criminal with felony indictments in and out of jail. You're sharing his picture saying, oh, you want to marry him, you would love to have his baby. And then you say out of the other end of your mouth, well, I want a good guy. But then you got this picture that's stuck on your Facebook.
Yeah, but that's good, brother. But that's good, okay?
Okay.
Because this is what we need. Ronald Reagan, yes, I'm quoting Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan once said that he wanted things to be black and white, no pale pastels, no faded colors, no varying shades of gray, that he wanted there to be a right and a wrong. And this is what we need, brother. In the 21st century, I want every damn body to declare themselves. Everybody. You're either black first or white supremacy first. And I want you to declare yourself. You are either black empowerment or black coonin. And I want you to declare yourself. I want the whores and sluts and bedwinches. I want the coons and homo thugs and lackeys and Oreos and sellouts. I want everybody to put their cards on the table. And situations like Jeremy Meeks, that's what we need. I post up posts on my Facebook and Twitter, and I come to this broadcast, and I speak from this microphone because I want everybody to declare themselves. And I make these statements because I want them to put their cards on the table. Fly your flag. I want you to declare what you are. I want you to come out with it. I want us to dangle these litmus tests in front of you. I want you to tell us what you really stand for. So things like Jeremy Meeks, things like Beyond Black and White, things like Nicki Minaj, yeah, come declare yourself. Things like big booty white girls, come on and declare yourselves. Things like scandal. I want everybody to lay it out so that we can finally start comparing ourselves to them. Do you know why I don't get very many people who want to call in and dispute me? They don't do it because they're finally being recorded. And everybody can finally hear what they sound like. They don't sound very articulate. They don't sound very bright. They sound very slow. They sound drugged up. And when they compare their voice to mine, it's no comparison. Yeah, brother, this is what we want. This is the battlefield. And on every battlefield, you win by getting the traitors and the turncoats and the collaborators to expose themselves. So understand, this is exactly what we need, exactly what we want. We want everybody who is on their side to get up and stand up and declare themselves. And little things like that to make them come out and, ooh, that's what we want, brother. We want that.
Well, I like how you put that, because I would look at it from that angle now, because I was just literally flabbergasted when I saw that. That was just as bad to me as that scandal mess of that TV show that comes on, to where this black woman is a bed wench of white politicians, but a lot of women look up to this woman and say, oh, I want to be a Kerry Washington. I said, really? You want to be a Kerry Washington? Have you looked at the palette and storyline? But everybody's starting to show their true colors now. And it's really kind of sad, so to speak, of who's really coming out, either for the stuff or against the stuff.
But it's not enough for us to complain about it anymore, Dominique. That's the problem. Everybody is out here waiting for me or Tariq to stand up and say something. We ought to have 1,000 black men with their own broadcast communicating to our people. And right now, you only got 2.
Well,
Every black man in America should be lined up for this. Everybody should. We're waiting one person to sit up here and speak the truth on these things, and that's not going to make it. You can't survive as men, we understand the situation is bad, but as men in intelligent black society, and just look how much trouble I have out of so-called intelligent black society with the males here. I don't have a bunch of males who are jumping up and doing everything they could. Contributing to 7 a.m., that's a great start. But brothers, I'm not looking for followers. I'm looking for leaders. Contributing to 7 a.m. was just a start. What else are you going to do? Well, TBA, I did mold 90% of black society. Yeah, but I want you to be the top 1%. You got to dig. You got to do more. TBA's got a camera and microphone. Where's yours? Oh, but TBA, I can't talk like that. Like them hoes on Love & Hip Hop can? Really? No, you're just being cowardly and looking for an excuse. Not going to accept it. Let me go ahead and bring in another caller here. Let me get caller from 510. You're live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Black First? My name is Jay. I'm calling out of Oakland. I just want to touch on the EBT card thing. They do accept the EBT cards in McDonald's, but it's the cash portion. So it's the GA portion, not the food portion that they accept.
Okay, now what exactly do you mean by that?
Okay, so I was receiving food stamps, and I applied for general assistance. So they usually gave me, on the EBT card, they would give me about $200 in food stamps. That's only used for food and cold food. And then the GA part, they used to give it to us separately. They used to send us a check separately. But now they put the GA also on the EBT card. So the GA part is the cash part. So you can use that. You can use both. But say if you want to go in a liquor store somewhere or McDonald's and buy liquor or whatever, they would charge you on the cash part, not the food part. So I just want to clarify that.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it's Not actually the food stamps part, because, I mean, the way it works in California is a bit different than other states. California is a welfare state. But
yeah.
The way it works in California is different, because that's not the way it works in Louisiana. Most other states don't have, like, a general relief, okay? California's got a bunch of wacky names under which they launder money through the food stamps and welfare system out there. That general relief scam is yet another one. Every two-bit bastard baby-making dropping slut in cosmetology school is signing up for general relief, and every hoe at community college is signing up for general relief. So that's something to keep in mind there. So that's good information for people to have, because what you're saying is that they basically consolidated those two funds onto the food stamps card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if you go to McDonald's, it'll pull from your general relief account.
Yeah, it'll pull from the general relief account. But the thing is, with men, they only allow you to get GA for like 3 months. After 3 months, they expect for you to have a job, and it's a loan. It's not actually. They tell you that you like when you sign up for it, they tell you that you have to pay it back at some point in time. But with women, they can get it. Like, I guess, especially if they have children, it's no limit. They can get it however long they need it, you know. So it's just, you know, it's funny how it works like that.
Don't they put the child support on there, too, on the EBT cards? Don't they put the cash child support? Like,
I'm
when
not
the
sure
state
as far
pays
as that.
The child support?
Yeah, I'm not sure as far as that part. I just only know about the food and the cash part. I don't know about that part.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Wells Fargo and Chase and the rest of them to want to get in on that action. Why would you not get plug into the courts? I mean, you already got private company process traffic tickets. I mean, plug into the courts. Plug into food stamps. Plug into Section 8. I mean, just plug into all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. But, yeah, that's all I had to say, brother. I don't have much to say other than that.
Well, thank you for adding that for us, and we appreciate your phone call. Please give us a call back again.
Okay, thank you.
Mona, you were saying?
I know also that felons cannot get general relief. They cannot get it at all. And I hear what the young man is saying, but they're not following rules and regulations. Originally, food stamps were for the grocery store. When it migrates, I don't know how, maybe they have this special code where they, one side and the other side, I don't know that. But food stamps are for grocery stores. When you
yeah,
go to beauty supply.
What he's talking about is, I mean, basically what you're saying is those people are misusing it, but you're right. I mean, you're able to, if those cards have just a general debit card terminal function, like if they like are Star or something like that, if they just have a general debit card function, like a bank card, that would be where this turns into a problem. Because at that point, yeah, what you're saying is that they're spending on stuff that's not even food related. And you're right,
right,
but they're giving them general relief. Now, general relief is not necessarily for food, but it's really not best spent on hair products either.
Right.
So the general relief, I mean, you live in the state, I mean, but y'all's general relief is not food stamps. It's just another form of welfare type of payment. It's
for
not
the homeless.
Yeah, it's really not TANF, but, you know, it's just another, because y'all got like five or six, there's disability, you know,
right.
General relief, and everybody, every fat black woman in the state of California has applied at one time for disability. Now it's spreading to Colorado, by the way. Every overweight black female, if she's 5 pounds overweight, she wants disability now.
Yeah. They have doctors that will approve that. Yeah, they have doctors that will approve that. So many women on disability, it pisses me off.
Now tell me, how do we develop power, wealth, and influence when your mother's idea of an economic plan is to get on disability?
That's how I wondered how all of these grandmothers were staying at home at 45. Their mothers weren't working. My friends' mothers weren't working, but they were living in homes. And sometimes Section 8 homes can be nicer than what you would think. You know, they're not just government homes. They're, you know, and I would see them living, and they would take care of their grandbabies or something. And they'd be 45 and retired. They would. They all say they're retired, you know. And it's like, well, what are you living off of? I guess it's disability.
No, I mean,
they'll go in there, act like they're they'll go in there, act like they're crazy, pour some Gatorade over their head, say Donald Duck is the president. The doctor is in cahoots. They give them these pills. They take it for a minute, not understanding that there is detrimental to their body, and they get a check.
Yeah, did you just go in there and just go? Do you know how many black women are diagnosed as being bipolar now?
Exactly.
All.
I mean, and the thing is, okay, you say you're bipolar, but the thing is, the courts will make sure you're taking your medications.
Exactly.
And once you start those meds, now you are playing at this, but those medications are really going to make changes in you. So you're playing, that medication is serious, and it's really going to make changes. And now, not only that, but they know that bipolar hoes are the easiest ones to get in bed. So now we've messed them up and the children.
Mm-hmm.
We got two for the price of one. Actually, we probably got four or five for the price of one. You don't dance with the devil and survive it. You don't do that. That doesn't happen. You play this game. You're playing the play. He's playing the win. It's not
a
game.
They think they're winning. Yeah, they're winning.
They think they're winning because there is no, remember what we said before, Mona, there is no definition of failing among them.
True.
There is no definition of losing. Therefore, disability is a win. And this is why you got people who sit up here and argue with me on Facebook and say that I'm doing okay for my kids, and when I ask them, what are you passing down to them, and all they can say is my kids will be all right. They never say, well, I'm passing down $100,000. They never answer that. They never do, because they're not passing down nothing. How do your children inherit your disability?
They don't.
How do your children inherit your SSI? How do your children inherit your Section 8 housing?
They destroy their children. They steal their children's Social Security numbers. I had a family member who did that, went through each one of their children's Social Security numbers, ran up phone bills, ran up all kind of bills, light bills, whatever you run up, cable bills, and then they just go on to the next kid using their socials.
Exactly.
For credit, for all kind of things, because these places, like you say, they don't care. They're in on it with them. So they have a way, if they want to know whose social they're using, they can tell. They know whose social they're using, but they don't want to know. They don't want to care. So when you call the cable people and give them a social, and they come, you know, put the stuff in your house, they don't care if it's your child or not. And so what is your son supposed to do? What is your daughter supposed to do? Go out 18 years old, get their first line of credit, or go to open up a bank account? Or just go to even get a job where your credit is checked. They're doing this stuff while their kids are babies. So talking about you're setting up a good home for them and passing down things to them, you're making them weaker. You're taking away from your children. These mothers are not adding anything. They're crippling their children.
What part of power, wealth, and influence involves welfare and food stamps? What part of power, wealth, and influence is that?
No part.
Everybody wants to play the game, but nobody wants to sit up here and look at the effect that that's going to have. Nobody wants to look at that. We are not doing our due diligence, because if power, wealth, and influence were the goal, you would understand that it is treason against children. It is treason to do that. You know, I think I'm going to go ahead and load up over time, because I've got some other things I want to cover here. Everybody who wants to leave, you're certainly welcome to do that. But I'm going to go ahead and load up an overtime right now. So in a few minutes here, everybody will be able to call back in. Now it's going to drop Mona and Gwen. It's going to drop you here in just a moment.
Okay.
But